Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We'll fight to the death. We are soldiers. We are soldiers.
Hello.
Hello, folks. Let's hope we got us back on. Kurt O'Reilly, are you there?
I am here, Robert.
Okay, great. It looked like we were experiencing some interesting technical difficulties there, but it sounds like we've got you here. So let's go ahead and start. How are things going?
Oh, busy. I've been involved in, this is the fourth radio show today. So things are really surging.
Yeah,
everybody is, you know, we're getting more and new radio elements that are checking in and wanting to know what's going on and what we're thinking is going to happen. And you know, we're getting more and more interesting contacts about marketing and spreading our word. And I just wish the one gentleman that I contacted me today, we could have talked to him last December or maybe January. Actually, I found out, I got in contact with this gentleman because somebody called me from Canada, and I've had about three calls from Canada recently, and they all sing the same tune. The lady last night was practically in tears in describing their fear up there that if America continues on the path it's going and losing our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then Canada is going to probably enjoy the same fate. So she gave me the name of a contact of a business that has millions and millions and millions of contacts, both email and cell phone, and hundreds of thousands, more than 100,000 radio contacts, and the man indicated he was interested in helping us at no cost. So
awesome.
That's a godsend today. That is a miracle if it works, and I'm in the process right now of sending him the information that he wanted so he can study it and get back with us tomorrow to see if he can help us in the marketing.
Oh, man, that'd be great. That'd be great. And I know we also have Joe Bennett on the line. We'll be bringing him in tonight as well, but I heard we have limited time with you this evening, of course, because all the shows you were on today and yesterday, and we do have someone coming on at 10. So what I'm going to do tonight is a little different, is I'm going to go ahead and start opening up the mics to the panelists and our contributors first earlier on in the show, and someone who didn't get to spend much time with you, or actually she didn't get to speak with you at all, and that's our panelist, Cindy Todd. So let me go ahead and bring her in. Thank you very much, Cindy, for calling to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear y'all's voice. I didn't know what happened there.
Okay, great. Well, were you able to hear the opening? Because I gave a description of the content of the show tonight during that. Was that?
No.
Were you able to hear that?
I was going to tell you a lot was not heard. So you might want to kind of give a description before you go any further, as if people have never heard of either of the speakers and, you know, what the topic is.
Okay, great. Well, I'll do it real quick. Tonight, folks, as you hear, we have Colonel Riley on, founder of Patriots of America and leading Operation American Spring. Then we'll also hear from Brandon Adams, a soon-to-be double organ transplantee who needs our help. He and his mother will be traveling to Seattle, Washington, where he'll be receiving a pancreas and kidney transplant within the next 18 months. And they are in need of our help for travel and lodging expenses due to his recovery of a minimum of 2 months. And you can go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website and go to the Give page to access the link there. I have a button there that people can go to his link. And also throughout the night, we will also be asking folks to check out Matt Bevin's website and donate what you can to aid in his fight against the conservative Republican. He's a conservative Republican challenger to Minority Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. And you can also go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website on the Give page and access to his website for donations there. So we appreciate that anything people can give on those notes. So definitely check both of those out on BardsLogicPoliticalTalk.com. So let's go ahead and get back to it. And thank you very much, Cindy, for letting me know. I know you had some comments or questions for Colonel Riley last week that we weren't able to get into. Go ahead.
Well, before I get into what I might have said last week, let me do this. There's a video going around social network. I'm wondering if you know Colonel Riley. Do you know Sergeant Major Dan Page, or of him?
Dan Page?
Yeah.
I can't place him right off. I have talked to so many people over the last 5 months that I could have talked with him, but I don't. It doesn't ring a bell right now.
Okay. Well, he's kind of going around to different places too. And basically, he talks about Obama not having a proper birth certificate, and he actually took early retirement because he did not want to be under the leadership of a president who was not qualified to be our leader, meaning technically qualified, no birth certificate. And he talks about that, and he talks about the federal land grab stuff that's going on out in Nevada right now. Now, he made a statement that I wanted to ask you if you knew anything about. He said that we're getting ready to see them do the same sort of thing on a larger scale in Texas and Missouri and some other states. Have you heard about that, and can you give us more detail?
You know, I'm not really prepared to deal with, you know, the BLM issue or those issues. Only what I've heard, probably the same thing you've heard. I have seen where those things have been reported in the media, that BLM is expanding, and the Texas, the Texas-Oklahoma border, I believe, is in dispute. All those things he's saying fall right in with why Operation American Spring, because all these things are a lawless activity by this lawless leadership in Washington, D.C., and that's exactly what we're fighting. It is so broad what they're doing that, you know, it can fill up. Well, we submitted at least 33 demands and grievances to Congress, as well as articles of impeachment, and they just touched the surface of everything that this administration has done in just the last 5 or 6 years. So these lawless activities where you have government thugs armed with rifles and in military, vehicles coming down on a family, it doesn't even speak to what the issue is with the family. It speaks to the way this thing has been carried out. And the thing that gives me encouragement is that America said, wait a minute, this is not what happens in America. We don't do things that way. And people from New Hampshire to Georgia to Texas and I don't know where else showed up in Nevada to stand against these thugs. And when roaches get light on them, they scurry, they run. And that's exactly what these thugs did. Now, I'm hoping that this is an indication that America is waking up to this encompassing terror tyrant that is in the White House and also his those in Congress who are complicit with what he's doing, that we're waking up. And we're going to see this gigantic, massive turnout in Washington, D.C. on May the 16th to stand up and say, we've had enough, and we're challenging you, and we want answers. And basically, we're going to stay there as long as we possibly can to cause any inconvenience that we can in a lawful, law-abiding, nonviolent, unarmed way. The only way we can get these people's attention, it's been proven over the last at least 6 years, because we've done everything we possibly can. We've tried every approach to Congress, into the courts with regard to birth certificates and all that, and nothing has stuck. We got absolutely nothing. The only thing we've gotten is we're sinking further into the quicksand, into the abyss. And it has to stop. And we're making an attempt, and the whole goal behind Operation American Spring is to begin constitutional restoration. And, you know, what you say just falls right in. It's just every more indications of the lawlessness and the land grabbing and all of this stuff that this government does. Unfortunately, We need to completely change the power structure in the United States of America back to the way the founding fathers gave us. We the people were the power. We made the decisions as to who went to Congress. They were our servants. Now it's just reversed. Those people up there look at us as pests and want us out of their hair so they can get back into the taxpayers' trough. Well, our goal is to reverse that, and hopefully we've understood our failures in the past, that we let these people go and become, you know, professional politicians and have no respect. In fact, they look at us with disdain and just can't wait to get us out of our hair. Well, we're mad, and we're mad as hell right now. And people are
going
to go to D.C., and we're going to make a point up there.
That brings me to ask you the one of the things I wanted to ask you last week that I didn't get on soon enough. What is your feedback? How do you know how many people to expect? How do you know that there's going to be a lot of people? What is your feedback?
Well, you know, we can't put a figure on it. All we can say is that we started this thing. It came off of a keypad in December, and by January it was starting to have legs. Mm-hmm. And everything about Operation American Spring has been driven by grassroots, and we believe the wind of God, that it could not have survived 6 months without any national support from anybody. No national public figure has come out and said, you know, the principles of what this organization is talking about makes sense. I mean, all they're doing is following the Founding Fathers and the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and trying to restore the Constitution. But nobody has come out at that level. We have no corporation, no deep pockets. We've got no donation button on any of our websites. It's sacrificial efforts by we the people, and every state has some action going on right now. We know that according to at least one national leader of the militia, 1.2, 1.8 million, I don't know, they have been mobilizing since at least January. Now, obviously, they're not all coming. Other organizations, we know that there's many elements of Tea Parties that have joined us. None of the national groups that I'm aware of have come out even as much. I think there might have been one, and that just happened. I just read something today where one Tea Party upper echelon came out basically not supporting us, but telling their members to beware that you know, our focus wasn't really on the Constitution. And I don't know how anybody can say that.
What?
By not reading our mission statement, not reading our websites, not listening to
right.
what we've said for the last 6 months, that everything is, we are bound completely by the United States Constitution, by the Declaration of Independence. That's our Bible, and we're bound by the Creator who created our rights. Government can't take it away. Can't take something that they don't control. So, you know, all I can say is that I think that we're going to field millions up there coming May the 16th, May the 17th, and I believe it's going to escalate even beyond that, because we're going to stay until patriots just, their sacrifice just wears out. They can't stay any longer. So I can't give you a figure on it. I wish I could.
If you're still there at the end of June, I'll come up.
Well, if we have to be, and we can maintain a flow, we do have a flow chart out of how people can support us, and basically it's simply on the alphabet. We start out on the 19th of May, if your name begins with a last name begins with A, B, or C, then you've got 3 days, the 19th, 20th, and 21st. 22nd through the 25th, it's the next three letters of the alphabet, and so forth, until we work through it and start again. So people have seen that. We'll get it out again here in a day or two. That's the way we're going to maintain a flow. But the whole goal is, I think, that, you know, America has seen, they've seen this Fast and Furious and Benghazi and the IRS scandals and Tea Party attacks and the NSA treachery. These things are just absolutely illegal, the way they're doing them. And you know, America is not stupid. These politicians think we just fell off a turnip wagon out here, and we can't reason at all. And the thing, one of the things, and I've said this before, but it still, it just rips my heart out, is the way Obama and Clinton treated the families of the Benghazi, our warriors that were lost over there. You know, they were standing in the shadow of those coffins, and they looked those grieving families right in the eye, and they told them a bald-faced lie. They looked at them and they said, you know, the reason your sons were killed was because of a video that someone produced that irritated the Muslims, and the Muslims took action. They attacked the compound over there and killed these four men. And they knew very well right then, they knew without a doubt that it was an Al-Qaeda planned attack. But still, rather than tell the truth to these grieving families, they put their own power first. Clinton wanted to maintain her legacy, and Obama lied, covering up what Clinton had said because he was worried about his presidential election coming up. Now, when we have people like that, with that character, with that manner of behavior, how can America survive? No integrity, no truthfulness, willing to just lather through their teeth in the face of grieving mothers. So, you know, there's so many things wrong that the government is just doing purposefully. We no longer have three equal branches, you know, overseeing one another like the Constitution calls for. The Congress has totally abrogated their responsibility. They just let Obama run wild. He does everything he says with a pen and his phone. Well, I got news for that occupant of the White House. My Declaration of Independence and my Constitution trumps his pen and his phone. And he's going to find out one day exactly how he's going to pay and how he's going to be held accountable.
Well, I hope it's prison myself. I don't know if that's possible, but he's so protected.
And we'll see, Cindy, but right now we're going to go ahead and bring Telly in. He's got a few comments he's going to make, and then we'll be bringing in Dan and James, and then we'll be opening up the mics to others as well. So, at this time, thank you very much, Kelly, for coming to the show. How are you?
Hey, good. I wanted to address a little bit more, and I'm hoping to attract Colonel Riley's attention by a personal phone call. But, there's something I've observed in my study of the grand jury. I'm a grand jury guy. What I've noticed is, they passed the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure in 1946. And since then, our government has grown exponentially. And I wrote that in my book. It came to my own conclusion, oh, my gosh, this is what's going on. Well, I met with Roger Root, who wrote, it's not a runaway grand jury, it's not a real grand jury. That's why he was in Creighton Law, and he's trying to wake people up, too. And we met at the National Libertarian Convention 2012. We talked for a couple hours. Anyway, he verbally voiced the same opinion that our federal government has grown exponentially since 1946. And so that is one of the things. You mentioned the three branches of government, which are Larry, Moe, and Curly these days.
Yeah.
And, made that way by the two main political parties of Laurel and Hardy. But, just real simple, when we lose accountability, we lose the great principles because the principles are not being enforced. I looked in the dictionary one day and I saw next to the word repugnant, I found Republican. And that's what happens when you take your eyes just slightly off the Constitution. And the Democrats, I don't want to look and see that the word demon is next to Democrat. But anyway, without accountability, You
got some pretty good one-liners there.
Yeah, well, I try. But without accountability, what's the point? Russia had a constitution, so what? The constitution unenforces no constitution. China had one, and the Republic of China before Mao took over. You know, what's the point? Cuba had a constitution. What's the point? If we're not going to enforce it, follow it, then what? Why do we even have it? Why do we even espouse how great it is? And so that's why I, you know, furiously have worked at this. I'm still working at this, and we found ways to get petitions in. I've got a paralegal expert who's a genius. He's going to summarize what we found as a crack of the code, 18 U.S.C. 1504, under the exception. We might be able to do some really good things. So, anyway, yeah, if I can attract you to, because I'm a solutions kind of guy. I mean, I hear left and right, you know, Alex Jones or Michael Savage, whoever, you can listen to them all day long, the country's falling apart, bad, bad, bad. Well, look, I'm from a farm. I'm an engineer. What can we do? What solutions can we provide? How can we move forward? How can we get past this? How can we overcome? How can we hold to account? So I just, with the greatest respect, I would ask, if you get a little time the next few days, just give me a call.
Yeah, well, everything you say, is Joe Bennett, you on here?
Yes, he is. I'm actually getting ready to open up his mic.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, Joe may have something to add to some of these things. Everything you say is a dilemma that we're in. That both parties are, they're both the same, really. They're in an incestuous relationship. They service one another. They make it sound like they're really angry at one another, but they're really not. Once they get in behind closed doors. And that's why with Operation American Spring, we felt, and people, they say, you can't do that, you can't do that. Basically, we're calling for the resignation or the removal or something of Barack Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, and Holder, all of them, until you get the lawless leadership at the top out. If you don't hit the brain, if you don't get the brain out, and then find people who are clearly constitutional focused, believe in the Declaration of Independence, then there's no hope, because we just keep going in this circle all the time. We just keep sending the same people up there, and they keep doing the same thing, and we keep whining the same way, because everybody feels their representative or their senator is okay. It's everybody else's representative and senator. But I'm telling you, they're all the same. They're all self-serving. They basically betrayed their oath. They betrayed their responsibility in their specific branch. And basically the nation is in chaos. It's out of control. There is no law. The states can't do anything, because if they try to take some action for their citizens, the feds come down and stomps on them, finds a judge that will ignore real law, the Constitution, and go along with the socialist, liberal, communist approach that Obama and his crew are pushing. And the states simply have not banded together and put up a fight and said, we're not going to take it anymore. We've had it. You guys pay attention to your enumerated powers, and we'll do all the rest. We, meaning the states, and we the people. So the only way that we see is we mount millions and millions of people in Washington, D.C., and stay there until we force something similar to Egypt or other places. But we're doing it because
I hate to cut you off, but I do see it at the bottom of the hour, and I do have the responsibility for this. Two things, folks. Of course, he mentioned Mitch McConnell, and, of course, we are doing a money bomb tonight for Matt Bevin, who is the conservative Republican challenger to Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. So you can donate to him by going to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com, and so you can have, there's a button there you can push that will send you to his link where, of course, any donation that you can make to Matt Bevin's campaign would be greatly appreciated. They also have to allow a little bit of time for our sponsors. This Sunday is Mother's Day. So for all the folks out there listening on the show, visit our sponsor for some great gift ideas for that special mother in your life. So let's take some time, just about a minute, to hear from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Julie Stevenson, an independent representative with Sopata Designs. Sopata is a direct selling company which offers fine sterling silver and semi-precious gemstone jewelry. If you like sterling silver jewelry, you can place an order with me. If you love sterling silver jewelry, book a home show and get the pieces you love for free. Sopata hostesses earn an average of $300 in free jewelry and 3 half-priced items. If you love our jewelry, do what I did and become a Sopata rep and earn 30% commission as well as free jewelry monthly. It's so simple. The style of our home parties is always an open house with no formal presentation. You can access my website on Bard's Logic, then call me to start living the life you deserve. 513-378-8876. I can't wait to hear from you.
And folks, you do not need to be from the 513 area code to order or be a part of what you're speaking about being a rep. So don't forget to visit the sponsor page on bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com and get that special gift. So let's get back to the show. Thank you very much for letting me interject that, Colonel. I really need to do that. So go ahead with some last comments on that, and then I do want to bring in Joe Bennett and then Dan. Go ahead. And then we also have James others on the line. I'd like
Kelly
to be able to get in as well before the top of the hour. Go ahead,
Kelly, I want to put my hand up if I may.
Let him finish his thoughts he was saying, because I interrupted him, and then Kelly, then we got to move on to bring Joe in.
Okay,
yeah, Robert, I'm gonna go ahead and stand down and let you go ahead and bring Joe in. I'm sure he's got plenty to share with you.
Okay, Kelly, a brief comment, then I do have Joe's mic open, so go ahead, Kelly.
All right, well, I didn't explain the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. What it was some codes that were passed to deceive the grand jury out of their power, essentially castrate by deception. And I'll explain more of that, but there's another approach I want to talk to Colonel Riley off air, another approach that might really help you. It's different.
And definitely, and I really like to do that, be able to get some contact information between you two. I'll talk to Deb or do some emails, or we'll figure it out, Kelly, I promise. We'll definitely get to that. But, Joe, your mic is live. Thank you very much for calling to the show. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I tell you, it's been a joy to listen to you guys talk about the issues. And I tell you, the one thing that really stuck in my head was this idea that if we're going to be problem solvers, this is a nut that I think we can crack. We've been sitting back, and I think our apathy, our indifference, and our ignorance for too long is just built up, and it's made this sort of event, Operation American Spring, seem somewhat inconceivable. If you even went back 2 years or 4 years, and there are certainly people who I'm sure wanted something like this for a long time, but the fact that things are getting bad enough is really the blessing. Obama is the gift that keeps on giving. He is the guy that is like, he's a fire hose of lawlessness. So unfortunately, as Churchill said, Americans will always do the right thing eventually. When it gets bad enough, when whatever, for the course of events, we find that we just can't avoid the problem, it's always us you can count on. We will do the right thing. And unfortunately, it's taken this. It's taken 100 years of this clamoring for power. We find ourselves in this current situation. But I tell you, we can be fairly optimistic on one thing for sure. Obama's not going to stop. He's not going to reform himself. He's not going to turn around and start undoing the crimes that he's committed and start, making amends. So that he's the greatest, campaigner we have for our cause. He is the problem, that brought us to bringing us to D.C. May 16th. And, it seems insurmountable to try to motivate the unmotivatable. For 25 years, I've been talking to people about how bad it was then, and it's gotten nothing but exponentially worse now. So the beautiful thing about this, that as conservatives, that's what we do. We fix things. We build things. We built Western civilization through Europe and then into the United States, into America. We built this place from scratch. We have the know-how. We have the ability to do this. We just have to have the gumption to do it. And I tell you, we can't ignore it any longer. And the thing that strikes me the most is that people just don't know what country we live in. They don't know their rights and their powers. It's the biggest problem I think we have is ignorance. There's people I've talked to who have been fairly indifferent about how bad things are getting. They're bothered, but they've never really understood. And as I've talked to them about the Constitution, whether it's 6 months or 2 years later that we run across them again, it just the seeds are planted in their brains, and then they understand exactly how bad it is. So I think the beauty of what we're doing in D.C. is that we are going to show people what country that they live in. We're going to educate them by example. And I gave up a long time ago feeling like I could just come up with the right words, the right logic to get into people's hearts and minds and just convince them. Now, certainly the words help and the ideas help and the education helps, because if we don't know how bad it is, you know, what the law actually is, then how will we know when they're breaking it? Well, that's what we're there to show them. We have a chance to create a platform to, when people ask, why are we there, we can say, boy, am I glad you asked me that. It's about the Constitution. It's the Constitution, stupid. They told us it was the economy. They told it was. They tell us it's a war on women. They tell us it's everything but what it is. It's about freedom. The Constitution equals freedom. The Democrat Party, the liberals in the Republican Party, that's their enemy. They've been working to destroy it. This is the very last thing they want anybody to do, is to show up at their doorstep and to hold that document in their face and to say to them, you lobbied for this position. You willingly ran. You raised money. You put yourself in this position to be elected, knowing that you would have to put your hand in the air and swear an oath to uphold and defend this Constitution, this line that we drew. You put your hand down, and you've shown us every day of your career, of your position in office, you never had any intention of honoring that oath. And now they're going to act surprised and self-righteous and indignant that we would show up at their doorstep and expect them to mean what they said? Well, I think we're going to be at their doorstep, and we're going to stay there as long as we can, and we will get their attention, and we will do the one thing they don't want. We're going to show people exactly what country they live in, what powers and rights are theirs, and what they are right and able and obligated to demand from these people.
And at this point, I'm going to go ahead and bring in Dan. I know he's going to want to make some comments. And then we also have James as well that we'll be bringing in about 10 minutes till the top of the hour. So thank you very much, Dan, for calling in. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty well fed tonight. Wife made stuffed shells. Awesome. I'll tell you what. If I don't want it to come to wartime, because in wartime you don't eat. And if I didn't have her, I don't think I'd remember to eat. But listening to Joe Bennett and the Colonel, I've never heard Joe before. That's awesome, sir. Really, really good. And I'd like to remind people of a few things that our founders said, and some of our modern heroes as well. You think there's over 315 million Americans now, and are they all going to show up? Are they all going to care? Probably not. That never happens. But according to Samuel Adams, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. 3% is what won the American Revolution. 3% is what won the Communist Revolution. That's, in this country, about 9 million people. And if we can get 9 million people in Washington, D.C., if we can have a 1 million presence that's ongoing throughout the summer, in addition to all of the other things that we're doing, there's so many important fights. We are, with Operation American Spring, basically the mass public face of the movement. My goal is to work and attack the administration and the Congress and the judiciary and every other corrupted organization, not because I hate the organization, but because I hate the corrupt men and women who are in it. But why would I choose to go with OAS? Because it's the vehicle that Joe was saying. It's going to help wake the unwary. It's going to embolden those who are wavering. And it will put fear and hopelessness into the hearts of those elite pretenders who would rule us instead of the other way around. And Colonel's mentioned Benghazi. I think it appears even worse than what the Colonel mentioned, but with the administration cover-up and stonewalling and the unwillingness of Congress to do its job, we don't really know. And that in and of itself is a constitutional crime. I'm involved with a lot of people across the board in the liberty movement from one end to the other. And lately, a lot more people are joining militias. There won't be any armed presence in Washington, D.C., but there's still going to be plenty of people on the home front who have their weapons and know how to use them. I remind people who are afraid, I keep hearing people being afraid that something terrible is going to happen in Washington, but there have been mass protests in Washington for years, for decades, from all sides, left, right, center, single issue. There have been tens and dozens and hundreds and thousands and even millions who showed up, and there's never been any problems. The people who are running the show right now, there are a lot of things, a lot of bad things, but they're not stupid. You didn't get there by being stupid. They would never cause the problems that it would cause. And I'd like to remind everybody once again that just in my own home state of Pennsylvania, there are more armed hunters with high-powered weapons, many of whom are joining militias, because after all, we are exactly as Obama said in Pittsburgh in 2012, or rather 2008, we are clinging to our God and our guns. Then there are all armed federal agents in the entire world, including the military. One of our modern heroes is Martin Luther King. He was kind of the American Gandhi. Not because he was a black fella. I really could care less. Not even because he was a Christian minister. That really doesn't matter a whole lot. But because of what he said, content of character, treating all men equally, he was bringing God's message, the founder's message, to the American people. And even those people who were atheists said, yeah, that's true. That rings true for me. And he said a couple of things. He said that non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And he also said that in the end, we'll remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Now, Joe mentioned also his hope, his optimism that America would rise to the challenge. And he's right. We are the last-minute people. Sure, we're lazy, and we're apathetic, we're self-absorbed, but we are experts in our own lives. And you ask anybody out there about the things that they're interested in, and they will astound you with the depth of knowledge and devotion, whether it's sports teams or their jobs or their families or their hobbies. Well, this is the time for them to get involved in politics, which is not boring and is not deadly dull. Politics is the ultimate blood sport. The only reason it seems dull is because the people who have seized power don't want us involved. They realize that they have more to fear from us than we have to fear from them. They realize that the only way that they can get power is by lying, and the only way they can keep power is by seizing it and making us afraid. We are last-minute people. We're Hail Mary people, and this is a Hail Mary pass, folks, because we only have a short time left before we may not have another chance. And I don't just mean for a while. All throughout history, there have been groups of men and women who stood up against tyranny. The Spartans at Thermopylae and the young English pilots in the Battle of Britain, over and over again. But most of the time, they lost. And even when they won, it didn't last until America, when we wrote down a constitution that recognized our rights exist. I believe from God, but they just exist, period. They're self-evident. And this constitution is exactly what our so-called constitutional scholar, whose college transcripts nobody can see, this fellow with the alleged birth certificate, the fellow who, admittedly, no matter whether he's an American or he isn't or any of the rest of that stuff, whether he actually, you know, went to law school and all the rest of that, he did grow up in a foreign country, and he did not. You know, honestly, I'll tell you all, guys out there, I'm a white fella, and I'm blacker than Mr. Obama, because I grew up in Bill Cosby's neighborhood in Philadelphia speaking native Ebonics, and my first friend that passed away at the only age 11 my best friend, died of sickle cell. And his family and my family were American families together. We didn't care about that stuff. Maybe the first generation that didn't. That kind of attitude has got to spread, and it's got to spread to every different group, black and white and yellow and brown, whether they're Christians or Jews or atheists or something else. I don't care. I don't care. You know, we've had people on this show from the Libertarian and the Green Party, not usually thought of as natural allies, and they're saying the same thing. The ACLU was in Harrisburg, our state capital today, working at an impeachment hearing for our attorney general, who is acting Holder and Obama-like and just taking the law into her own hands and doing unconstitutional acts. And the ACLU was there with conservative groups because they're finally waking up to realize that if we do not adhere to the rule of law that limits power of government, we have nothing. There will be no debate. It will be the whim of a tyrant. And as Bob said, I do like to talk, so I'm going to take my turn and hand the show
before I take another hour. Oh,
go ahead,
and that's okay. We understand, but we're with the time constraints for this evening. But go ahead, Colonel, or Joe, if you want to chime in before we bring in James. Go ahead, Colonel.
I think it's going pretty good. You know, it's I really have nothing to add at this point. I'm paying attention and listening.
You know, Colonel, I do want to mention, and this is for some of the other people out there, people asking for your time. Colonel Riley is putting – he's a servant. He's a servant of America and has proven this with his lifelong career. And now at a time when most men would earn their retirement and spend – time with their families and just enjoying some life, he's still putting himself out on the front line. All those great ideas that a lot of people have, like Kelly, I love your ideas, and share them with me, and I'll spread them around, that they're worthwhile. But the Colonel is fully devoted to Operation American Spring, and sir, I am in awe of your energy and the depth of your commitment. And I would just say to anyone else that there's not any problem with all the other fights. We're not saying don't do them. Second Amendment, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, pro-life, you name it. Keep doing it. Do more of it. Do it as hard as you can. And show up at Operation American Spring at least for one or two of the days as it's ongoing. And urge your friends to go. And if you really can't make it, do something in support of it. We're going to have James Neighbors on. Go join an overpass group and put those signs out there. Five people on an overpass can influence 5 or 50,000 in a few hours' time. And you can have rallies like we've had recently at Valley Forge. You can have them all over the country in support of that. And your main thrust, no matter what else your issue is the Constitution and fiscal common sense. With that, we can have all the debates we want on details. Without that, we're lost.
And we'll have some of those debates, I'm sure, you know, future shows. But, of course, we need the 2014, probably 2015, because this is an election year. So we'll be real big with that. And then, of course, we'll be gearing up for 16. But I'm sure we'll, you know, if I can increase the number of shows I do a week, we can get more topics on. But before we bring James in, and we will be very shortly, I want to see if Joe has any comments and then bring in James.
Yeah, I tell you, I think, is it Dan, is that right?
Yes, thank you, Joe.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I love your comments, and I think you're exactly right. There was a lady that I talked to just a couple nights ago, and her concern was that the fight really is at the local level, she said, that we need to retake our county seat and reassert the authority there and through the county sheriff. And I agreed, and I told her, but they're not mutually exclusive. There's no reason that it has to be one or the other. You know, I told her that if we are successful in D.C., which I fully intend to be, I'm not leaving until we are, then it will reverberate through all 50 states. Our cause will benefit her cause. The people that are working for the types of causes she's talking about, those are the people that are coming to D.C., and those people will be going back, and I can't see how what the left does to us is death by a thousand cuts. They're bureaucrats. They regulate, they tax. I think the Article 1, Section 8, the enumerated powers, there are 11 things.
11 things the federal government's allowed to do. Somebody, some bean counter recently estimated that there's 60 million currently. 60 million laws, rules, regulations, taxes, fees. There are just 60 million thin lines that go from us to the federal government or to some sort of regulatory committee or the states or some composite of the two. It's insane how far we've gone down this road, and we need to link arms. We all need to link arms and, you know, like you said, come to D.C. and then go back home and fight your fight. And then when we're done in D.C., we'll help you fight your fight. There's no reason we should just pick one front and say that's the end of it. No war was ever won that way. You don't just pick your one battle. You'll be encircled in the blink of an eye, and that's what's happened to us so far. So at this point, I think we need to, at every front, fight them back. And D.C. is it. I love the document that was delivered to Congress. It's on OAS2014.com, you know, down towards the bottom. It's a beautiful piece of work. And like the colonel said, it's the tip of the iceberg. I think it was Senator Cruz today released his own list. I think he called it
there's 72
legal limit
illegal actions.
Yeah, report number four.
Unconstitutional. Mm-hmm.
It is out of control, and I think there's going to be more support for this than anyone can imagine, but we won't know unless we do it. So as far as I'm concerned, I'll see you guys in D.C.
I can also briefly mention that here in Pennsylvania.
John, of course, I'll keep your mic open, and I want to bring in James. And James, of course, is the founder for Overpasses for America and one of our panelists here on the show. And thank you very much, James, for calling in. How are you?
I'm doing great, Robert. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well, thank you.
How are you doing, Colonel?
Doing great.
Good, nice. Good. Well, we will see you here in just barely more than a week. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I noticed today one of our Maryland people had some of your guys over or called them or something, and he had about 100 signs. Nice signs, and shared them, and they were taking them out and going to spread them all over Maryland. So Overpasses and OAS are locked, shoulder to shoulder, locked arms, and going to it.
Well, good deal. I'm glad to see they're out there getting after it like that. You know, it's, you know, I, as you're well aware, taking care of an entire national organization will devour your time, and I don't always have the opportunity to see what they're doing, you know, in all 50 states. So that's good news. So thank you for passing that on to me. A couple of questions that have been asked to me, and you've already answered them, but we've got listeners here that that haven't. They wanted to basically hear it from the horse's mouth. One that was just asked again to me tonight was, you know, are there permits for American Spring? You know, have those been acquired, or are we just exercising our constitutional right? Colonel?
Did we lose the colonel?
No, he's still there on the line.
I had to step away for a moment. Sorry.
That's okay. I'll ask the question again. You've already told me the answer, but we've got a lot of first-time people that haven't talked to you or heard you talk the first time, and they just they ask the question, is there a permit that you've been able to acquire for Operation American Spring, or are we just exercising our permit called the U.S. Constitution?
Yeah, no, there is no requirement for permit for what we're doing. We're not having any stages, sound systems, or, you know, establishing any kind of you know, thing that we're setting up that will damage anything. So that's what permits are needed for. For what we're doing, basically, we're going into D.C. as citizens under the Constitution. A right of free speech, a free assembly, freedom to present our demands and grievances. So, really, there's no need for permits, and there's no way, since we're you know, we have no donation button, we have no funds at all
It's a grassroots effort, so there's no way we could afford tens of thousands of dollars to pay for stages. And further, we really don't need stages because we don't need anybody to tell us who we are. We know who we are, and so basically, what we want to do is we want to have lots of TV, lots of videos around. Blog talkers, they're reporting live, who are reaching out to America and telling them what is going on up there. You know, in the past, the media hadn't been there, so we had these stages, and we had some personality, you know, from somewhere, a politician or something, stood up and talked to us, and it was absolutely meaningless. It just stopped right there, what we want to do. And we're putting together our own OAS, mainstream media, if you will, through smartphones and through our OAS 2014 website, where we're going to have real-time video using smartphones and funneled, you know, through the Internet for everybody in America to see and follow exactly what's going on. So... No permits. We're going in under the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. That's what we're bound by.
Okay, good deal. I mean, I knew that's what the answer was, but you know, like I said, they wanted to hear it from you, so there were no questions. You know, it's I actually forgot what I was actually about to ask you again. I know that we. And Overpass, you know, here at Overpass, we're going to be having people for at least the first week out manning the overpasses, and then really in across the Beltway and all across the nation. You know, as you know, we've got a lot of people in this country that are just flat broke because of the way the economy's been managed, because they're trying to drive us into a into communism. You can look at everything, and I just want to let you know that just as I promised you, we're getting everybody mobilized all across the country, so that regardless of what the media does or doesn't do, however hard communication may or may not be to get out of D.C., that people across the country are going to know that something is going on in D.C. And you know, just to allay the fears of people that think, you know, because there's still a lot of people that think that, you know, this is going to be some crazy massacre. Well, first off, there's going to be a lot of people there. The government would be absolutely, you know, absurdly stupid to do something like that. But secondly, because people across the country are going to know that something is going on, well, that's insurance. And, you know, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of something like this. This is what you put together with Operation America Spring is something that's bigger than life. It's something that people will look back on decades from now. They will look back on it decades from now and see it as an example to what they can do, what the people can do when they stand together. And anybody that has the ability to go that's been having second thoughts, banish those thoughts and just get there. Just really just get there. This is an opportunity of a lifetime. This is an opportunity of several lifetimes. You don't know what you're missing out on if you don't take this opportunity. You know, as they say, may you live in interesting times, and that's a Chinese proverb, and they also call it a Chinese curse, because if it's an interesting time, it's rarely a good time. Thank you for what you have done, and you know, thank you. And I've told this to you privately, but I want everybody to hear me tell you, thank you for what you did when you were in the service and protecting all of us during the Cold War. I really thank you. I can't thank you often enough, and I think everybody, you know, needs to know just exactly that that's what you were doing for us when most of us were children.
Well, James, thank you, but let me just say that really I'm not letting you in this. I'm not letting anybody in this. The reason people are in this is because people stood up and said, I can do something, and that's all it took. You know, that's why this operation, I think, is successful. because people are stepping up and seeing that there's a need. So I'm just like everybody else. We're doing something. I'm coordinating some things. Other people are doing other things, and people are stepping up every day to do something. I sent a little note out that we needed some help maybe for a little initiative we're going to start, and I've gotten several people already back saying, you know, I can help with that. I can help with that. So it's not a matter of letting them in. It's people just standing up and getting in because they want to help. So we're all in this together. We're all locking arms, standing shoulder to shoulder. And if we maintain our dedication, our determination, we will indeed bring America back toward, I believe, constitutional restoration. But it's, you know, nobody said it's going to be easy. We've said that from the beginning. This is not a catered event, and people recognize it and are sacrificing. And I'll tell you, I'm the one that's honored to be part of it because it's so humbling to see and to hear. I mean, people like these Canadians that are calling, and people tell me, I can't go. You know, I just can't afford not to. I don't have the money, but I'm going anyway. I mean, it's that dedication and that commitment that kind of gives, you know, makes the back of your neck kind of stand up a little bit. And maybe even a tear start to flow when you hear some of the disabled that are planning on riding their wheelchairs from way back in, you know, mid-America and going through a heck of a struggle to get to D.C. So, you know, it makes the rest of us just want to do more and more and more.
You know, Colonel, I want to just bring in a couple of points about that exact issue. Here in Pennsylvania, there are a lot of people.
And then after you do that,
okay.
I must let the folks know that our next guest on tonight, Brandon Adams, he is on the line. So we'll be moving over to that. For those who are on the line, like to stay and talk more about this later, if you can, that's fine. But I do want to bring in Brandon soon. So let's go ahead and finish your comments. Let's bring him in. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, and I'll make it brief. Here in Pennsylvania, I have personal information, personal contacts with tens of thousands of people, not directly with tens of thousands, but with hundreds who speak for thousands and so on that are coming. And one thing I've noticed that we're really good at here in Pennsylvania is a collaborative effort. We help each other. There are a lot of people who are disabled or who are poor, who are unemployed, who are having difficult times in their lives and who want to go to this event. And there are others who are providing rides and providing. We've got several who've put together a bus and everyone's chipping in and there are some free seats and they're letting people go with them. And there are people who have opened up their homes and James, I think I'm going to be staying with you in Reston, Virginia at the campground there with some other nice people. Yeah, and the thing about this event is that it's going to be replicated, as Joe said, in all kinds of areas. I cannot stay indefinitely. I have a job, unfortunately, that I still have to pay my bills with. So I'll be there for about 3 days, and I'll be rushing back because we've got an event in Harrisburg at our state capitol with exactly the same theme on our state constitution, and we're going to get more people from that event to be going to Washington, and it's just going to continue to build and grow. This is some of you are old enough to remember the Summer of Love when all the baby boomers got kind of, you know, wild and crazy, and that's when this whole thing started to fall apart because they had some really good ideas, and they had a lot of really bad ideas too, and because of the bad ideas, we ended up where we are today. Well, now that segment of society, the baby boomers, my group, we're taking it back because we still have the mass of the population and we still have the mass of the resources, and we at this point have learned our lessons. Along with that, we have young people who have no hope and no trust in government or in power at all. The figures are astoundingly bad for unemployment. They have nothing, and I welcome them. You came to Occupy, and you found it was a party. This is a much nicer party, and we clean up at the end of the day. And nobody's going to assault you. And the only thing that we ask is don't break any windows and don't do anything funny on any cop cars. That's not funny. But if you want good fellowship,
right,
and if you want to be with great people of all ages, of all colors, all backgrounds, who just want the same thing, which is freedom, which will give you that opportunity so you can have that home and that family and that great career that you don't have now and you have no hope for now, join us.
With that, folks, I want to thank everyone for coming on to the show in this segment. And if you're welcome to stay on to hear our next segment with Brandon. And so we'll be opening up his mic shortly. But before that, I want to tell everyone we are also looking for folks to support Matt Bevin in his fight against Mitch McConnell in the primary there. And what we're trying to do is send him some funds tonight by going to bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Go to the give page, and you will find a button there that will send you to the donate page for Matt Bevin's campaign. Because, of course, we know, especially going against the establishment and the political machine that I'm sure Mitch McConnell has supporting him, whatever folks can give him would be appreciated and, of course, much needed in going there. So check that out at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And so without any further ado, I do want to bring in our other guests, and I want to say thank you, Colonel and Mr. Bennett, for coming to the show. And if you could stay, great, but I know if you can't because you both have a lot to do, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yep, thank you, Robert.
Oh,
appreciate
welcome.
It. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Yep. Good night.
You too. Good night. And I know the Colonel could only give us an hour, and I appreciate the time that he does spend with us, and hopefully we'll have him on the show. We'll do some live shows from, or at least people calling in from the Operation American Spring. So without any further ado, I will want to bring in Brandon. Thank you very much, Brandon, for calling into the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Oh, good. And if you could turn up the volume a little bit, you sound a little bit low. Sorry about that. But how's that?
I'm sorry?
Oh, are you there? Okay, you might need to speak just a little louder or be close to your phone or mic, whichever way you're calling into, because you're sounding really low.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't get the phone that close
to my
mouth.
That's better. No, that's better. Well, folks, to give you a little background of what we're doing tonight, we're also from the BardsLogicPoliticalTalk.com on the give page. We got a button there as well that will send you to where you can donate funds to help Brandon out. So, Brandon, why don't you tell us your story?
Well, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to raise money to help myself for travel so I can get a simultaneous kidney and pancreas transplant that I'm needing. I've been diabetic since I've been 12, and it's caused me to have some issues with my health here. My eyesight's gone bad, and my kidneys have failed on me in the past year. And so I'm trying to raise money so I can travel to Seattle, Washington, so I can get these transplant procedures done, surgery.
Yeah, and you've had to move as well, correct? Or at least temporarily?
Yeah.
So did you have to move temporarily?
After the surgery, I have to stay, you know, within arm's reach of the hospital for 2 months or maybe a little bit more, depending on how the procedures and stuff go. And it's kind of hard in my financial situation.
Right, and have you ever had anything like this before? Or I was put that in another site, and it kind of was given, you know, a fuller story on how you've been battling with this for a while.
I haven't had nothing like this happen before. I mean, this is all new stuff to me. I mean, other than just being diabetic for most of my life, I've had type 1 juvenile diabetes.
Okay, and you also do have a Facebook page or something of that nature?
I do have a Facebook page, yeah. I guess you'd be able to look me up on Brandon L. Adams. Other than that, I have the GoFundMe account that I have up in the link and stuff that you can help out with if you're willing to help me out with that.
Well, and that's what going tonight. I do have a link there. on the Bart's Logic Political Talk Give page so folks can visit that. And I do want to note that it was one of our audience members who sent me a message regarding what you're going through and what you're trying to do. And so I want to thank her for giving me the information. Thank you very much, Holly. Hopefully we can do some things that can help Brandon out.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah,
I was wondering, Brandon, where are you in the country? I'm trying to find you on Facebook, and there's actually more than one Brandon Adams.
Yeah, I'm actually in Kalispell, Montana.
There you are. There you are. Man, I wanted to say one thing. I can hear the difficult times you're going through emotionally in your voice, and if it makes any difference, I don't know what you believe, and I respect whatever you might believe, but we pray for people, and it certainly can't do any harm. You're going through a very difficult thing that I think none of us would ever want to go through. I just have to ask you a question. I'm not being facetious here at all. All this new Obamacare regulation is supposed to help people in your situations like yours. Isn't there – aren't they – I mean, even a very conservative person would not want to see somebody who's facing a really, really difficult time that's not of your own making at all. This is not something you did. This is something that just happened to you. And we want to help you. Doesn't the government offer any kind of help for you?
I mean, they're, I guess you could say, offering a little bit. I mean, it's helping me with my procedure and stuff. But, like, I have to pay for all my Medicaid and all that stuff. And that takes more than half my disability money every month. So, I mean, even being able to live and survive off of what I have, I can't. I mean, I'm having to stay with family and stuff, my mother again.
That is just terrible. They're making people pay for procedures they don't need, for coverage they don't need. They're charging them through the you know what. People who are relatively healthy and lucky enough to have jobs are paying more. And here's a man who is truly ill, who's hurting, and they're, with all the money that they take from us, they can't share a little bit with a fellow who just needs a hand to live. This is just wrong.
Yeah, because I mean, if I can't raise this money for the state in Seattle, Washington, I can't even go and get the transplants or nothing done.
We have some very, very good people in the audience, and some of them are in similar situations economically with you, and some of them are just working poor like me. But we also have some people who have done quite well, and I'm absolutely certain that if everybody chips in what they can, it might be $5 or $10 or $50, and somebody might be able to come up with $500 or more to help you out the way that we would want someone to help us out. And since obviously our government is, no surprise, they're not doing what we want them to do with the money that they take from us, so much of it, then it's up to a voluntary effort together for us to do this. And we do this, I'll remind all you people out there that, you know, you go and give to charities and biker runs, and you never see the person who needs the help. And here is somebody who needs the help, and a little bit from your pocket added to other people's little bits from their pocket. He doesn't need a whole lot. He doesn't need $1 million. He just needs some help for his medications and some travel and a place to stay while he's getting these procedures done. And I'll tell you, you're a brave man. I'm very scared of doctors and hospitals. I would,
yeah, you,
God,
mean
I would not want to have to go through what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been diabetic since I was 12, and I still hate needles.
Oh.
Mm.
It's
and
a
I bet
tough
you see
thing.
A lot of those. But, gentlemen, speaking of Holly, I do have Holly on the line. And so thank you very much, Holly, for calling to the show. How are you? And I tell you what, before you chime in, Holly, I just want to say that was very excellently said, Dan. I really appreciate your input there. Go ahead, Holly.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dan. And, Robert, thank you so much for having my friend Brandon on the show tonight. You know, I wouldn't ask for help if we didn't need it.
No, I know.
And,
thank you.
And I just definitely want to thank you and appreciate your show for having Brandon on tonight. He's been a friend of ours, mine and my husband's, for several years now. And, you know, we knew he had diabetes.
You
want to
get back to a ways.
Yeah, and he had problems, you know, health problems, diabetes. But when we first met him, he worked, you know, 2-3 jobs, you know, and we could tell his health was, you know, just getting a little bit more worse and a little bit more worse. And then like all of a sudden now, you know, he's basically legally blind now, you know, and he can't work anymore. He can't even drive anymore. He used to love, you know, his car. He'd take pride in his vehicle or motorcycle, you know, things like young guys like. And he's speaking of that, I believe, Brandon, aren't you only like 28?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a very young guy. I mean, to be going through what he's going through. And,
well,
Robert, I just really appreciate you having him on tonight.
You're welcome. And one of the things, you know, we used to do when the show was on more times a week, and as I said, you know, hopefully in the not-too-distant future we'll be doing more of those, is I used to have a one night, you know, dedicated for things like this where, you know, people either had a cause or if they had a small business they wanted to promote or something of that nature. We used to like to have them on. So, you know, thank you for, you know, bringing this to me. And that's, you know, why I say Bard's Logic Political Talk is it's your show, the people's show for those in the audience. If you do want to have either a topic or a guest on or something like this, you know, we try to do our best. So just give me, you know, send a message to me through the contact page on the website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And there is a contact page where you can contact me with any of your ideas with topics or organizations or even individuals such as Brandon to send to me, and we'll do what we can to get folks on. So that's definitely, besides the political talk, you know, portion of the show, which of course is the vast majority, we do like to be able to do things such as this when we can.
I'd like to mention something too. It's a tough situation, especially for a young man, and I'm looking on Brandon's page. You know, buddy, I had a different taste in motorcycles, but then again, I'm decades older than you. It's a tough thing for a young man who is a working man to have to ask anybody for help with anything,
mm-hmm.
especially when you might feel like you're not giving anything back. One of the hardest lessons I had to learn in my life, and it was just by offering somebody the opportunity to be good, the opportunity to give, you're giving them a great gift. And there may be other things that you have to offer as well. I don't want you to feel that you're needy because you need some help. There's not one of us out there, not one of us, who doesn't need some help. And when we had the Colonel on a little while ago talking about Operation American Spring, what we are doing is the same thing here, which is people banding together to help each other out. And quite frankly, there are a lot of people who cannot make it to Washington because of their economic or their health situation, for instance. And that doesn't mean they're bad people. That means they have to find other ways to be active, other ways to help. And one way that you can help is, and I'll remind you, even in these tough times economically, it's not our government that takes our money by force and forces us to give to charity that ever does any good. Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, you know, welfare. These are great sounding programs, and they always come up short of their intention because there's bureaucracy involved and a lot of power politics. But when we see somebody in need, when in my town there's a fire or a flood or somebody's ill, or we just went through a terrible winter, the kind of winters you're probably used to in Montana, but we had a
tornadoes
bad one year.
Here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and people who are not used to taking help have to realize and be humble enough to say, all right, it's my turn. I've helped others, and now I'm going to give people the opportunity to help me. Brandon, there's nothing wrong with you, young man, except for a couple of internal organs that need some fixing up and replacement, and with the help of some other good Americans out there, I feel confident that we're going to be able to help you in your goal. And when you get a little healthier, there's going to be a lot more things in your life that you'll have to give back to the world.
Yeah, of course.
And once again, folks, you can go to the donate page, and as Dan pointed out, the any bits will help, I'm sure, and it's going to be much appreciated. Just go to the give page on BartsLogicPoliticalTalk.com, and there will be a red button there. You just push it and go there to donate whatever you can to help him out. And we also have someone who just let me know through Facebook on a message. I apologize, Joe, for having you on hold so long. So we'll go ahead and open up your mic. Thank you very much, Joe, for calling to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Robert, for having me. How are
you?
You're
welcome. Sorry for the hold, so go ahead.
No, that's okay. I tried calling in the first minutes, but I think there was an audio problem. So for the first 3 or 4 minutes, I couldn't hear anything. So I hung up and
are we
then
having
went
an audio
back to you again. So no. No audio problems again, no. But
it's cutting out.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Joe.
Oh, okay. I thought that the gentleman was saying there was an audio problem.
What's that?
I thought the other gentleman was saying there was an audio problem. Okay.
Dan?
So, anyways.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yes. So, I definitely wanted to give my opinion pertaining to Operation American Spring. And I just wanted to explain why I am opposed to Operation Spring and give the valid reasons as to why. I think it is a noble cause with noble intentions, but I honestly don't think that the results that Colonel Riley is seeking is going to be achieved by this demonstration. First of all, what's very troubling to me is on Facebook there are many people who are saying that they are going to attend this event, that they have every intentions to go there and be violent, and that they do not have any intentions of peacefully demonstrating there. And these are people who are going on Facebook and who are literally making these posts that are saying that they are going to attend this event. Number two, last night there was a primary in North Carolina and there was a primary in Ohio where Greg Bannon was defeated and the GOP establishment candidate won. And in Ohio and North Carolina, there was a very low voter turnout. And so, yes, I do realize that President Obama has committed many offenses that are impeachable, but realistically, as much as we would like to have him impeached, it's not going to happen for as long as he is in the White House. And there have been attempts for years to do so, and it's just not going to happen. Has he violated the Constitution various times? He has. But he's not going to be held accountable for it, just like Richard Nixon violated the Constitution many times. Lyndon B. Johnson violated the Constitution back in the 60s. This has been a pattern that's been going on for 40, 50 years. Obama
what
is
hasn't
not the
happened,
first president.
Yeah, but
huh?
what has not happened is mass consistent uprising of the people everywhere in every single possible venue against this corruption. We didn't bother with that at the time because we were fat and happy. We're not so fat and happy these days. As far as the impeachment, you're absolutely right that it's not happening now. It won't happen until we take more Senate, more congressional seats and take back the Senate, because even if he is impeached, that's only an indictment. The trial is in the Senate, and the Senate is held by Senator Reid. As far as that violence talk, I just wrote a piece for Operation American Spring about exactly what's going on. Now, there are some people out there who are genuinely scared or genuinely angry or genuinely crazy, but they're the minority. There are also concerted efforts, and I can't prove it, but I would not be surprised one bit if the efforts were part of what's called a PSYOPs operation, which, for those who want to look this up, it's a this is all proven stuff. This is not conspiracy talk. The U.S. military and the intelligence community got together with, and this is starting since the 50s, they're very sophisticated, with psychologists and mass marketers and all kinds of other folks who deal with persuasion. And they figured out ways to infiltrate. And they did successfully infiltrate numbers of groups over the years. They've been trying this with Operation American Spring. The problem with what they're trying is that the whole thesis of the movement, the whole impact of the movement is nonviolent. We don't have, like the colonel said, big stages with speakers and, you know, events and bands. There's people. And it's not just going to be in Washington, D.C. People are going to be coming and going. People are going to be coming for a day or two and leaving to be replaced by other people. They're going to be going back to their own state capitals and their own small towns and their own cities and demonstrating. The violence talk is extremely spurious. I see no evidence that it's going to occur in any sort of widespread fashion. In fact, to be honest with you, I would be extremely surprised if there's anything more than the occasional fist fight that you'll get any time when you have hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of people together. You're going to have a few people rub each other the wrong way. But when they're surrounded by others who are peaceful, it doesn't work. I used to work security in a lot of different venues. The best method of security, which is unarmed, I used to be a liberal guy, you know, I'm still pretty classically liberal, and we had a thing called the Philadelphia Folk Festival. Some of you may be aware of it. It's been going on for like 50 years, and it's very, very, you know, progressive and good music, too. A lot of dope smoke and stuff like that. And the state police would be there, but it was private land. And here's how we ran security. When the event was over, it was time to clean out everybody from an area so that we could make sure everybody was safe. We were in massive numbers. We didn't just have a small security force armed to the teeth. No, we had a lot of people, including weak people and small people and young people and old people, and we gathered together and we joined hands. And we simply swept the area. We walked. And if we ran into somebody who was passed out or somebody who was ill or somebody who was drunk or somebody who was belligerent, we all stood there, the line didn't move forward, and people who were specialized in that area would simply gather around that person and do what was required to take care of the situation. If they were ill, we got them medical care. If they were simply passed out and tired, we got them something cool to drink and helped them off to a nice, quiet place where they could sit. And for those few people, that you run into them who were just really one in a bad time, there's always a few of us who were well-trained and knew how to use physical methods without committing any sort of felonies or being violent to forestall them from being violent. Let me just put it to you this way. If you've got one bad guy and I got to fight him, it's going to be a fight. But if you got one bad guy and I'm there with 100 other good guys, there's no fight. There's no fight at all. And I'm really not concerned about violence being an issue. I had somebody this morning on Facebook just before I went to work tell me she was really scared that something was going to happen. This is a genuine person, not some kind of crazy and not some kind of government plan. She's really scared because she'd heard some rumors. And I said, look, if it makes you feel any better, here's two facts. Number one, the people in charge, they may be a lot of bad things, but they're not stupid. They are not stupid. They're not going to risk a catastrophe in terms of public relations for themselves, that all these nice, decent people suddenly, you know, they do something bad to. And I said, if you're really worried, getting back at me, I'll take a bullet for you. And believe me, folks, I'm not like the bravest guy in the world. I don't think of myself that way. I really doubt if I'm going to have any risk. There's probably far more risk on the highway driving down there, you know, than there is once you get there and you're surrounded by lots of peaceful people whose sole aim is to take back what is ours.
And we also have James who would like to chime on this, and we also have someone who would like to speak with our guest Brandon Adams or speak on him as well. So, Brandon, we're going to bring you back in after what we're going to do here. James, I know you want to make a comment, and then we want to bring her in. And then, Joe, we can, after we get through that, we got plenty of time. We still have an hour and a half left of the show, so we'll have time to revisit this. But we do want to give Brandon and his folks some time here on the show as well. So go ahead, James, and respond, and then we'll bring her in, and then we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to, the first thing I'd like to touch on is, you know, the notion of violence at the event. You know, when I started Overpasses, we had a lot of accusations by Obama fans that we were throwing cinder blocks into traffic, that we were pointing guns at traffic in states where they could open carry, you know, that we were doing basically a whole array of nefarious things. We actually were called in at one I was actually at personally. We had dozens of calls, and the police were actually laughing, not at us, but laughing at the call, people that were calling 911 and saying there was a KKK riot on an overpass. And, you know, the fact is that there are people out there that will spin things in a very bad way. You know, I've actually been the personal target of a lie and smear campaign that was intended to bring down Overpasses for America based on false allegations. Obviously, it failed because I'm still here now. You know, there are instigators of all sorts. One thing that you need to also keep in mind is that MoveOn.org, which is Obama's, the PAC that supports President Obama, actually has full-time paid employees. And we call them on the Internet trolls. And they run around, they stir up trouble, they will engage you, they'll call you racist, call it Bush's fault. They will pose as patriots, create completely false you know, Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts, and you know, yeah, exactly. And they are paid instigators to do things like that. Is there a possibility that these people will be in attendance at Operation America Spring? Absolutely, there is. Absolutely, there is. And if there weren't any, I would be surprised. But what you have to keep in mind are the people who are actually attending there for the right reasons. Overpasses, unlike any of the accusations, has never thrown cinder blocks off of overpasses. We've never thrown burning couches off of overpasses, although some people have tried to frame one of our groups out, I believe it was in Nebraska, actually did that on the overpass a mile away, set a couch on fire and threw it off into traffic. And, you know, luckily our people were a mile away at the next overpass. And
don't forget the lawnmower lady, James.
Yeah, and I think we've got crazy people with lawnmowers trying to run over feet of protesters. And, you know, I mean, you know, the fact is the loons are on the left. And they just are. But with all of that said, the people that will be attending Operation American Spring, a great deal of them are going to be ex-military, and they know exactly what to look for and how to deal with that to end any such provocation in a swift and with the least amount of force necessary to stop the action. You know, am I saying that they're going to put hands on anybody? Well, hopefully not. But when you've got somebody that's attempting to be a violent instigator, you know, you'll have to take, you know, whatever means necessary to stop that. The most obvious method would be just to simply everybody separate out away from the person and point them out to the police. That's basically going to be our modus operandi as far as overpasses goes, is just to make it very blatantly obvious who the instigator is so that the law enforcement officials know that it's not us and they're not with us, and so that they can deal with that person accordingly. If you were to look at previous Tea Party groups that have gone to the National Mall to protest, I believe there was over 1 million there when Glenn Beck went there a few years back. And when they left, was it trash? Was it destroyed? Was there any law breaking? Absolutely not, because you've got a different group of people with a different mindset than your Occupy type protesters. We're not there to cause trouble. We're there to speak out for our rights, and we understand that there is such a thing as being civilized. and having manners and behaving in a fashion as such. Enough of that particular point. As far as will he or will he not be impeached? Well, let me tell you why he will and give you a scenario. And fortunately, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back too much, or I rarely do, but I do like to point out the fact that, well, I've been right every now and then. when overpasses started, there were less than two dozen newspaper or media articles about the necessity or the reasons for impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama. Since then, since our first protest started on July 4th of last year, and since then we've had over 2,000 across the country, there have been over 2,500 articles written on the necessity for the impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama. We went from less than 25 we're working on 3,000 media articles now. It's a fever that's caught across the country, and that's what you have to do to make an idea become a reality. You have to get this into the common mind of the people, and so that they become educated and understand, and that's what we have done. We understand that with the current state of collaboration in the Senate with Harry Reid, I mean, he's obviously a criminal. You look at his actions. You know, he hasn't been convicted yet, but he has committed crimes. He's not going to go. I mean, he'll go down with the ship. And, you know, he's going to fight tooth and nail to stop us because he's a collaborator in the destruction of this nation in the lawlessness that has come out of our Congress and the White House. So until he is no longer known as Senate Majority Leader Reid, and he's either known as Citizen Reid, to be honest, I can't remember off the top of my head if he's up for election this year, but even if he just becomes Senator Reid after November 2014, if he simply becomes Senator Reid, he will no longer be able to call the shots of what does or does not happen in the Senate. And back to prior to overpasses, if you would ask any congressman, the few times they asked any of them, do you think that the president should be impeached? And it did happen a handful of times. Every time they would ask it, they would say, well, there is no reason to impeach him, when most of the things that he's done had already either been set in motion, such as Obamacare, or had already happened, such as Benghazi. Since we showed up and started raising public awareness, there are now 38 members of the House that said that if control of the Senate is taken away from the Democrats, that they will, not will consider, but they will file articles of impeachment. Now, I would have to say that that's a lot of evidence to point towards that it will happen. You know, you say that it didn't happen with Lyndon B. Johnson. It didn't happen with Nixon. Well, it did happen with Nixon. He was given the option to resign. They were going to impeach him. They were going to convict him. They gave him the option to resign before they went through with the impeachment. Nixon did the actual honorable thing and took the resignation, you know, resigned, and saved the nation the hassle and the trouble and the drama that would have gone along with a criminal trial for the President of the United States. And that's another thing that people need to understand. Impeachment is a criminal trial or a criminal procedure for federal officials, for elected officials and federal employees. That's a common misconception with people. You know, people say, well, you can't impeach him because he's not a legitimate president. Wrong. The fact that he may have gotten there on a false birth certificate, if that indeed is the case, will be brought up in impeachment. It's called fraud. I'm not even sure what level of fraud it would be, but I would have to think when you've bamboozled 317 million people enough to be in office twice, then that's going to be some kind of pretty heinous fraud charge that he's going to get. And whether he's valid or not, he is the de facto president because he took the oath of office and has assumed the office. So therefore, the criminal charges that will be brought against him in impeachment That is how he will be removed from office. The thing, it's like an avalanche begins. It starts out with one snowflake or one pebble moving downhill, and then it slowly knocks more out of the way. Our government does not move quickly. The select committee for Benghazi was just, the whole process just began. And I can tell you right now, you should do some history, do a little research into Trey Gowdy. Trey Gowdy is the most decorated prosecutor in the history of the U.S. Attorney General's office, the very last person on this, in this entire nation that you want coming after you for a criminal charge is Trey Gowdy, and he's on a warpath.
And with that, gentlemen, I do want to bring it back to our conversation with Brandon Adams, and we do have someone on the, and we will have more time because we've got an hour and 15 minutes. But however, for the folks who are listening to the show via the internet, that if you do not call in within the next 16 minutes, the live portion of the show will be over. But we will, of course, go into extended version, which will give us about another hour afterwards. And if you'd like to listen in or be a part of the show, call us at 347-945-7428 to join us here on the call. Again, it's 347-945-7428. And so at this point, I will open up Dawn's mic. There you go, Dawn. Thank you very much for calling to the show. Thank you very much. And real quick, folks, just as a reminder, or for those who are newly listening to the show here, with our guest Brandon Adams on, you can be able to donate to his cause by going to the website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Go to the Give page, and at the top of the page, you'll see a button that will send you to the link in order to donate whatever you can to help this cause. Thank you very much, Dawn. How are you?
Okay, how are you? I'm calling
sure,
on behalf
of Brandon.
I'm sorry? Can you hear me?
Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you. I'm calling in on, about Brandon. You know, you know, one of the terrible things about this country is that we have people like David Crosby, who didn't get a liver in a heartbeat, get a transplant. He was a drug abuser. Here we got a kid who has something that is uncontrollable. It's hereditary or whatever. I have a cousin that died of that awful affliction. So this is close to my heart. I've put this his page, his GoFundMe page, on my Facebook, asking for people to help. Just $1, $5, $6, whatever you can give. This is a guy that doesn't do any of this stuff. He's a good kid. He was a hard worker before this got really worse for him, and I think that people should help him. I think that this is a good cause. This is not somebody that it's derived from some drug use or something like that. If David Crosby should get this, then I think that Brandon is well worth it, because David Crosby sure wasn't. And I am a music fan, big music fan. But this is a kid that did nothing to cause this problem. And my, like I said, I have lost a cousin who had juvenile diabetes. She died at the age of 25. So,
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
This is close to me. This hits because I lost a cousin, and now I'm second in line. So, I think that Brandon, there should be something out there, a group, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, church groups should hold some kind of fundraiser, whether it be a tricky tray. What we have out here in New Jersey is tricky trays and just some kind of fun, some kind of something that, you know, a bake sale even, you know, and then give the proceeds to Brandon, send it to him. I mean, it's so easy. And I think that if a couple church groups got involved and Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts of America got involved, we can make that quota that he needs within those 18 months.
You know, what's a natural is, I mean, given that it's Montana and he's a young guy and he likes motorcycles, around here, the best attended charity events of all time are always poker runs, where it's mostly Harleys, but yeah, there's some rice burners who show up too, and it's a great time with great fellowship, and it's a great way for people to feel good about doing something nice for one of their own, and it raises good money. So, Brandon, if there's anyone in your area who is, you know, part of a motorcycle organization, we got tons of them over here, and they're all good people. They're all good people. People used to think about bikers as being some kind of criminals, and I suppose there's still some criminals who ride bikes, but most of the people I know, they're just really decent folks who try and help each other out every chance they get.
Yeah, but just as much criminals drive cars too, so can't just.
Yeah,
bikes.
It's true, you know.
and James sent me a message. He wants to add a little tidbit, and then we haven't heard from Cindy for a bit and Holly, so let's bring the two ladies in and then Kelly. And then go from there. So go ahead, James.
As far as fundraisers goes, these crowdsourced type fundraisers, one that I would highly recommend to you, and it's one of the bigger ones out there, it's called Indiegogo. It's just like it sounds. It's really just Indiegogo. Set you up an account on there. It's one of the bigger ones out there in the country. And you can really get some good coverage with that. It'll be a really good supplement to the GoFundMe account that you already have. And, I mean, you know, let's face it, the more avenues that that you have to get assistance, the better. And I've known people that have used that before for similar things, and they had really good results.
Robert, there's someone in the chat asking, tell me what it is a sickness he's suffering from, please.
Brandon, go ahead. I don't want to speak for anybody, so go ahead, Brandon.
Oh, I'm sorry. I barely heard you say it again.
Someone in the chat portion of the show is asking what you're suffering from or what you're up against.
It's type 1 juvenile diabetes that I inherited from my grandparents when I was 12, and it's just progressively gotten worse. It's caused my kidneys to fail and my eyesight to go bad. I'm right now on dialysis and stuff and receiving shots for my eyes every 4 weeks just to keep my eyesight where it's at now.
And he's needing a kidney and a pancreas transplant. And they're needing to raise money. Him and his mother are going to have to travel from Montana to the state of Washington to have the transplants done, which that portion is paid for. What they're needing, I think the goal is what, Brandon?
$5,500? Well, travel, stay, and food, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just for their motel room and their food, because he's got to stay near the hospital and the doctors that perform the transplants.
In case the organs fail or anything.
Yeah.
And I just see, and I'm looking at the website now, and it looks like that Danielle, I mean, they both are going to be spelled the same way, just donated some money to there. So thank you very much. If you are listening to the show, Daniel or Danielle, if you could spell them both, and I forget it wrong. No, sorry, that's why I want to cover both. Thank you very much for donating.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd also like to mention Brandon's cousin, I don't know her name, Brandon, set up this GoFundMe site where you can donate, and I will put that link in the chat. So what was your cousin's name, Brandon?
Katie Bryant.
Yeah, she set that up for him, so thank you to her for that. I think she's at work right now, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sending us that link. I'll go ahead and bookmark it. Actually, that's the one that I've got on the one you just put in the link.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I have on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, so I want to bring it over to you, Cindy, and then we'll bring it to you, Kelly, and then we'll go from there. And then, Joe, I see you're still in line. We can continue the conversation. But I do see there's only about 6 minutes left of the live version, so if anyone would like to listen in to the rest of the show. And, of course, also we are looking to try to raise some funds for Matt Bevin as well for his fight against Mitch McConnell for the Republican Senate primary there. So, folks, check that out. You can also find a way to donate to him by going to the BarsLogicPoliticalTalk.com website on the Give page as well. So check out and do what you can for him as well. So we're just kind of doing a money bomb for a couple of things while we're talking about Operation American Spring. So go ahead, Cindy, if you'd like to chime in, and then Kelly, and then we'll bring it back to Joe, and then we'll go from there.
Well, all righty. I guess I'm on.
You are.
I hear you, Cindy. Okay. Okay, because I know for a while I didn't have my mic on because I had turned off. But anyway, Brandon, I just wanted to say, buddy, we'll be praying for you. I have a little grandson that I homeschool, and we have a prayer list that we keep, and we will have you on it until we hear
much.
That you are all better.
Thank you.
Keep up your, you know, spirits and you know, allow us to help you.
I appreciate that.
I don't want to get into the politics part yet, so I guess that's all I have to say for now until we go back to politics.
Okay. Well, which I'm sure folks will be doing there shortly, but we'll go ahead and keep Brandon and his folks on the line as well. We'll bring it back that way throughout the show, which I can't believe we're almost through our second hour already. So if some folks would like to listen in or chime in to the extended version of the show, I'd call in within the next 4 minutes at 347-945-7428. So go ahead, Kelly, you're up.
Hey, I'm here.
There you go.
All right. Are we into extended time yet?
No, we're not extended period yet. That's in about 4 minutes. But also, while I'm thinking about it, you know, while people are having some thoughts for folks, I have a friend, Ted Krim, who just had surgery today to have his gallbladder removed. It's hard to believe a lot of my friends, you know, my age, I'm in my early 40s, who've had to have, you know, surgeries and things of that nature. So I can't imagine, you know, 20 weight what you're going through, Brandon. But if everyone can keep my friend Ted Krim in their thoughts as well, I'd appreciate it. So go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, well, you know, I just going to be straight up with you, okay? I want to make this real short. Very many, or a vast amount of radio programs, the populace, even locally here in Siskiyou County, we are, it's going to come to blood, okay? I don't know how to say it, okay? It's going to come to blood. That's what I'm hearing. How do we prevent this, yet have accountability upon the government? The government is, like, out of control. What is the role of history? Oh, that's right. Democide, democracies who kill people. You know, we thought the plague was really bad. Well, democide, okay? You know, Russia, 20 million Nazis, 20 million, or actually 30, 30 both, okay. 30, 30, and then you got Communist Mao, 30
Rome.
Million, and the numbers keep growing. So, you know, we are getting closer and closer. A lot of people feel it, understand it, think it. They're hearing these reports. It's getting spooky out there. So I guess I'm going to ask, what is the solution to this?
Well, then we'll bring that question to Joe. Perhaps, Joe, you got an idea. You stated earlier that you're not a supporter of Operation American Spring. We'll talk, you know, to Dan and to James as well. But so what solution would you say, Joe? What should the American people do?
for the American Spring?
No, well, I mean, with what Kelly said and what Kelly's thinking, we're looking for solutions.
How to avoid
and if Operation American Spring is not one of those solutions, which I would think is what you're suggesting, you said you're not for it, what would you suggest would be a solution to what we're facing now with the government?
Well, you know, many people are stating nothing violent is going to occur and nothing is going to happen. What people fail to realize or remember is that there are radical factions of both the left and the right. And one classic example is the 1999 WTO protest, the World Trade Organization. Now, that was an event that was set up to perfection, where they had every security mechanism in place, where they said there was no way any violence would spew, and we all know how that turned out. And so for those who are going to go into American Spring, I am not trying to deter them from doing what they think is in their best interest. But to underestimate or to not even consider or state that anyone can predict that there isn't going to be any violence or there isn't going to be and there's somehow going to be a way that that's going to be controlled, it's just not really realistic. And I wish that all these efforts, these concerted efforts that are being put in Operation Spring, if only we put these concerted efforts in our candidates and our pro-constitutional candidates who are running in these primaries, maybe we can actually win some victories and have some pro-constitutional candidates elected into the Senate instead of having what occurred last night with Greg Bannon in North Carolina, who lost against a GOP establishment candidate because there was low voter turnout. That is unfathomable. Everyone is talking about how or what we should do to protest against the Obama administration. But what people don't realize is unless conservatives get into power, all of these dreams and hopes that we all have for our country is not going to happen. And we are not concentrating our efforts in where they should be, in my opinion. And when I look at those two primary races in North Carolina and Ohio, and with other primary races coming up, I see that there is low voter turnout, there's not a concerted effort, there's not a concerted grassroots effort, and basically the conservative candidates don't have realistic chances, or they're not being given realistic chances of winning. The power of the vote is the most powerful power we the people have. And so I am in no way trying to discourage anyone from attending American Spring. I'm simply stating the end result of what the people who are seeking is not going to be realized, in my opinion. And I believe that we should be focusing our attention on the midterm elections. For those who state they want to have Obama impeached, if you want to see that occur, if you want to see that ever see the light of day, one thing must happen this November. The Republicans must take over the Senate. And a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, we don't really need to be on defense. This is going to be an easy win. We're going to take the 6 seats like nothing. Same thing was said in 2012 when all we needed was 4 seats. And how did that end up? Obama got reelected and the Republicans could not even win 4 seats. So that's why I am saying that we do not have this in the bag, the midterm elections, until November. And if Republicans and conservatives start becoming complacent with that mentality they had in 2012 of thinking there's no way we can lose the Senate, because of Obamacare, because of Benghazi, well, then they haven't learned anything from 2012. We have to stay consistent. We have to stay on offense. We have to stay on defense. And we have to keep the pressure on the Democrats until November, and we cannot step back from that. And a lot of people are jumping the gun, and a lot of people are talking about, American Spring and other events, but what a lot of people are failing to see is the big picture. To get to B, you must first complete A. And A is winning the midterm elections, that the Republicans take over the Senate. And unless that happens, you can have all the Operation Springs you want, you can have all the rallies you want, and you can have all the indictments you want against Obama, but realistically, nothing is going to happen, and nothing is going to change.
And real quick, it sounds like Holly wants to chime in, so I'll bring in Holly and then James.
Oh, that wasn't me, Robert.
Oh, that wasn't? Oh, I'm sorry. Was that you, Cindy?
Yeah, that was my big mouth.
I'm sorry. You two
mouth.
Sound an awful like a lot. I'm telling you, you too. It's a soft voice you two have. Before you chime in, I just want to say is, you know, while I agree in part about, you know, taking over the Senate and keeping the House, increasing the numbers in the House, however, I think that what's as important as having, you know, an R next to their name is that they're conservative Republicans, because I think if we just get a bunch of rhinos in there, even though they have the numbers, I really wonder how much of a difference that would really make to have it that way. So go ahead, Cindy.
Well, I was just going to say, they have to go hand in hand. But here's the problem we've had, Joe, with just plain, you only have basically two parties you can vote for. Yeah, you can vote for the independent, you can vote for the conservative, you can vote for the Constitution, but you're not going to get the person you voted for at this point. There's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done before that can happen, or some other party can come along and put up a candidate. Now, in the meantime, we have to try, our job is to try to put into office who we think is going to be conservative like us, but all we can do is get him in, work really hard, which I have done. I worked really hard to get people in, and then you have to watch them. People aren't doing the watching. And
right.
After you watch them, then you decide, did they do what I asked them to do or not? Okay. Well, here you got this. You have the establishment Republicans and the establishment Democrats are doing the same thing, but they're saying to you, we've got Mitch McConnell in office. We've got John Boehner in office. We've got them in important places, and we have to keep putting them in because they've been in there so long. They've accumulated all this power and all this clout and stature. And so they can get things done for us. Well, the problem with that is we're putting them in there, but they're not getting things done for us. They're collaborating with the enemy behind the scenes. You all saw what's his name from South Carolina, I think he was, come to Reed at a micro, and a microphone was open that he didn't know was open, and he said, tell me what I can do for you. Tell us what I need to do for you to get Boehner to help you, okay? What can I do for you to get Boehner for you, okay? That's the kind of collaboration that's going on behind the scenes, and probably way worse than that in the back rooms and in the restaurants, in the back rooms of restaurants, okay? So this Operation American Spring is an opportunity for the conservatives to say to the fake Republicans, the fake conservatives, we're so big that you cannot afford to ignore us anymore. And we can't really say that on a local level, just working in with your local Republican group, which is what I do here in my county. I cannot get to Washington. I cannot get to my representatives in Washington in that manner. They aren't going to listen to one little woman who belongs to the Republican Executive Committee of Volusia County. Okay? It's not until me and a million other people show up on their doorstep, clog up Washington so that nothing can move for days on end, then we, because of that days on end being there, things don't get done, all of a sudden the media is almost forced to cover it. Now, they're going to cover it negatively on some channels, and Fox may even cover it negatively, I don't know. But basically, people are going to know that what we're out there doing, okay? You could actually see by the end of 3-4 days, by the end of a week, if they're still there and they're still in such great numbers and they're finally getting some press, you may see an escalation. You may see people from around the country saying, hey, I'm going to drive up to Washington. And, you know, if they're still there in a month, I'll be there because I'll be back from Texas. So, you know, if we can keep this thing going and force them to listen to us and say, look, this is why you GOP can't get Romney in. This is why you GOP are having trouble keeping McConnell in his spot. Because we're not going to hold our nose and vote for you anymore. From now on, we're holding you accountable. That when you tell us you're one of us, when you tell us you're a conservative, you better, by gosh, you better be a conservative or you're going out the very next election. We're tired of this being fooled and wool pulled over our heads all the time. And that's why just working in your local area to try to get some senator, some representative voted in isn't enough. It hasn't worked up to now. People are working their butts off. Joe, I guess you're working up there. You sound like you're working somewhere. I've been working my butt off. I'm walking precincts. I'm making phone calls. I'm shooting emails.
Okay.
I'm on blog talk shows. And I'm trying to do my part. Okay? And I'm a poll watcher, doing everything I can. But it's not enough.
So you don't think it's enough?
And James would like to comment?
Well, just in regards to the polls and the elections, I very much agree with you. You know, we do have to vote for the right candidates. You know, the fact that we keep re-inviting these incumbents back into office is a flaw in people's voting. You know, it really has to do with a long-term complacency. And Dan touched on this earlier, is, you know, times were very, very good for a long time in America. You know, we are extremely spoiled in this country. We're extremely spoiled in this country. And people get this false notion that if the country was good before when the guy was in office, well, it'll be okay if he stays there because, well, he made everything okay before, and so he'll get it right again. And, you know, that's where they're wrong is the same reason that CEOs get traded out in businesses. You know, they become complacent, they become corrupt, they become embedded in their position, and in doing so, they themselves become complacent, and they can't see the forest for the trees. And the unfortunate part we've got going on in our Congress right now is the trees are being ground down and turned into money. And that's all they see is the money and the power that comes from it. I have to agree with you entirely on that. We've got to have a fresh batch of people in Congress. It would be refreshing to see the American people go out and in mass just vote that, you know, vote out all the incumbents. But the problem is that we have right now is the money that's involved in our elections. And John Boehner had a huge war chest to spend, and you know, as do all of the incumbents. And that's an issue that somehow or another we're going to have to deal with. And we can actually thank John McCain for that. And I can't remember the name of the co-author, but I've never had.
Feingold.
Was it? Okay, thank you.
McCain-Feingold.
Yeah, so we've got Feingold and McCain to thank for the current state of affairs in Congress and the mass bribery that's going on when they passed the Campaign Finance Reform Act. And all that did was allow foreign nationals to buy our elections. and and with unlimited corporate donations, unlimited offshore donations, and our country has spiraled downhill since then. So, you know, we have some things to fix. We have some things to fix. And, you know, one of the reasons that we need to focus on the head or the poster child of the problem is because it will cause the rest of them. It's like a 1-2 punch. You know, if you're in a fight with somebody, you know, you hit them with the jab and you stun them. And when you stun them, then you hit them with the right cross. And then you hit them with the left hook. And it's just one, you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, until you get a knockout. You know, if you fight the 10,000 little battles, and just bat, 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 like that, just constantly little punches, then the odds of your success are very slim. But if you concentrate, and the same thing goes in the rules of warfare, you know, it's concentration of firepower. If you concentrate even though Obama is just a figurehead, he's a very important figurehead. And you can cause the powers that be to take great pause at their machinations and their plans, whatever they may be, if you take out the poster child of their problem by removing him from office. And I had to emphasize removing him from office, because talking about Obama and saying taking him out, hello NSA, we're not talking about assassins here. no mistake, don't want any mistake there. But the thing is you know, I have to agree with you. I'm greatly disappointed that as many incumbents are winning as what there were. The solution for that is to continue to educate people. You know, as far as taking Obama out, we're already seeing, just for example, in the vote today in the House, instead of it being a straight party line to find Lois Lerner in contempt, 6 Democrats cited to find her in contempt of Congress. The one thing that keeps politicians in power is also a manipulatable weakness, and that's their narcissism. And that is the fact that they're extraordinarily self-serving people. They're very selfish, and they think about themselves above all else. They'll go along with the party line up until the point where the party line dramatically affects the odds of them being able to keep that incredibly easy job with wonderful benefits. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a member of Congress? Honestly, if when you look at the benefits package and the pay and the actual amount of work that you put into it, it's a dream job. You know, you're famous. You get treated like a celebrity. You can do and go all sorts of places. Your health care is the best in the entire nation. You're treated like royalty. I mean, who can blame them from a selfish, narcissistic standpoint from wanting to cling on to that job? Well, therein lies their weakness, and that is when you threaten their jobs by putting them on the wrong side of the battle and the wrong side of the people. When you wake up enough of the people, if for no other reason, the majority of them will turn on your target to protect themselves.
Yep. That's true.
James, what's the name of your website again? Didn't you just change it recently?
Well, it's still overpasses.org. We just added a domain to it, so it's easier to type in on a cell phone. And that's O4A.org. Just O, number 4, letter A, .org.
Okay.
Just to let you know, James, Oklahoma City Thunder's winning by, well, my husband walked in and said they're winning by 20.
Nice. I don't even watch basketball, but I like it when Oklahoma does something well.
Well, James, you know, I guess you were here a couple of months ago or more when we were talking about that shortly after the bikers and the truckers and the veterans had all been up to Washington, we had a conversation on this show about the fact that we needed to have all of them there at the same time. We needed to get all these groups, all the patriot groups together at the same time in Washington. And I think it's funny because apparently the guy was in the works planning it as we were speaking about it, which is, I think, just awesome. But then you'll also recall a couple of weeks ago, we had a conversation about there needs to be a single website that acts as a meeting place, a clearinghouse or a message board, and where you could get announcements and news, and all the Patriot groups could have access to the site and be able to disseminate the information to their members and to other members so that we could cross-reference each other and maybe even be able to attend some of the same stuff together. And I'm thinking that maybe this OAS website could grow into something like that, maybe if he would allow that. I wanted to ask him that before he got off, but once again, I wasn't able to talk to him enough. But anyway.
No, I'm sorry, Cindy. I think we all would like to...
Yeah, but it's been, that's all right.
Yeah, unfortunately, we only had an hour with them tonight. I tried to get you in earlier.
It wasn't meant to be. So anyway,
Robert, can I jump in for just a second?
Sure,
I'm sorry. I think Brandon is probably still with us, and I know he's not feeling well tonight with his blood sugar.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brandon. He may be needing to get off the phone.
I'm just thinking
Sure. Well, Brandon, if you have any closing comments for us, we don't mind interjecting to do that. And I apologize for that, but thank you very much for staying on and telling us your story. And hopefully we can, you know, get some good deal of funds out to you tonight and, you know, when people listen to the show on the archives, because the show is archived and still be available. So if you'd like to share the link out with, you know, all your friends and family, things like that, they can hear the show as well. And also for folks where they can go to the link to donate to you. So go ahead, Brandon.
Thank you very much for having me on tonight. Yeah, sorry, I'm not feeling that well. My blood sugar's been messing with me all day today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I appreciate you coming on.
All right, y'all have a good night.
All right, Brandon, take
care. Good night. Thank you very much,
Brandon.
Take care.
Good night, Brandon.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Holly.
You're welcome. I was sorry to interrupt, but I know he's not feeling well.
No, Holly, we'll be sorry. We appreciate you chiming in for him.
You know, Robert, I mentioned, I guess it was last week when Colonel Riley was on, that there's a website out, or I don't know, it was just a news blip or something that I saw that talked about like 15 or 20 different ways to just come up with some money really quick. There were some things that take longer, you know, to do, like getting a yard sale together and have a yard sale and stuff like that. But then there was a couple of things they mentioned that are really quick to do. And we could do this for Brandon. We could do this for Matt Bevin. You search certain places in your house and get all your cash that you can find, all your change and your dollars that are just laying around that you don't even know about right now. And some of those places were your car, and I'm talking between the seats, behind the seats, under the seats, in the glove box, in the console, in the cup holders, and every little nook and cranny of your car can have money in it. Your house is full of places. The pockets of your coat from last winter or this winter, whatever. The pockets of pants that haven't been washed yet. There's bags and baskets and all kinds of things, places where people put money. You can take that piggy bank that change bank that you've been keeping on your bathroom counter, you know, for so long, and it's got probably 10 bucks worth of change in it. You could just take that, put it in rolls, and donate it. There's just tons of places. If you think about it, you look around your house, and it can be in your couch covers. It can be behind desks, behind dressers. There's just possibilities all over the place in your house. And if you just take it, maybe an hour or two, go searching all those places, you could probably come up with at least $5 to send to Brandon. Just in the change. I got to thinking about it today, and I know where there's a lot of money in my house. So, you know, and I think we need to kind of do stuff like that. And those of us that are struggling anyway and really have a hard time just paying our bills, we still have disposable money. So, you know, we got to make a little effort to help people. We just got to be, you know, that's what the government and the taxes the government takes from us has done to us. It has almost taken away
right.
our will to be charitable. And we've got to get back our charity in our hearts. America has in the past been the most charitable nation. It still is the most charitable nation on earth. And everybody poo-poos us and denigrates us and calls us such an evil and horrible country. But basically, they're living off of us. And they need to keep their mouths shut.
Right.
And we are the most giving people on this earth.
Right.
Christian people in general are the most giving people on this earth. And then that pours out into our society. The kind of people that, you know, people look up to are people who give money. And, I mean, it's not that hard to come up with a few bucks. So we really need to do that.
Thank you for that, Cindy.
You're welcome.
Cindy, I was wondering if it was possible if I could make a couple of comments pertaining to what you were saying earlier about the Senate races and the significance of that, if you had a few minutes.
Well, I'm not saying it's not significant. We absolutely must get the Senate back, but it's not enough. What I'm saying is it's just not enough. You've got
right,
to do
right.
things like the Washington thing, too.
Right.
We
well,
have to
no.
show them up front. There's too many of us for you to argue with. You know what I mean?
It's no, and like I said, it's I'm not here to argue. You see, I come on this show to debate the issues. I come on this show to talk about the issues, to have a forum where I can talk about different issues. I'm in no way, shape, or form here to argue with anyone. Matter of fact, I pretty much I don't think anyone who calls on this show is here with the intent to argue. I think we're all here.
We don't have a lot to argue about. We're all
that.
Pretty much in agreement.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so much that you are not stating the significance of that. It's that you are stating that's not enough. And I just wanted to give you my opinion about that. See, politics is a dirty sink. It always has been. But I have dedicated my life to politics. I have dedicated my profession to politics. And in life, in politics, and it's, the system has always been set up this way, it always comes down to which of the lesser of the two evils are you going to go with? The majority of the times, you never have the option of A is better than B or B is better than A. Most of the times, A and B are not good options, but you have to go with which are the lesser of the two evils. And in this particular current point in time, although I do not agree with the GOP establishment, although the GOP establishment in many ways have many similarities to the Democratic Party, I still believe out of the lesser of the two evils, it will be more dangerous if we keep the Democrats in the Senate, and it would be a catastrophe if the Republicans did not regain the Senate. And
I agree.
So, exactly. And I want to make sure that happens. I just don't want 2012 to repeat itself again because, Cindy, I'm with you. I don't think America can afford another setback like we had in 2012. God knows, had the Republicans won the Senate in 2012, God knows how many things that the Obama administration has done since then could have been prevented, and that wasn't. And I just don't want to see any more damage.
No, and I understand that, Joe, or Joseph, I do. But one thing that I must say is that people want to, and folks are still, you know, at least people in conversations I have off the show, still want to point fingers on, you know, whose fault it was that, you know, President Obama got reelected. If there's anyone that you or any group that you can blame for the Republicans or for this country having another Barack Obama, another 4 years of Barack Obama, you can blame the Republicans for that. You can blame the Republicans, the Republican establishment, and the Republican leadership. And I would dare say you can blame a lot on the so-called conservative media for us having another Barack Obama, because for a long time they were touting that Romney was the only of those candidates that were running for, during the primary that could beat Obama. And actually, he was the worst candidate to do that. And then you've seen what happened at the convention with what they did to get Romney, the coronation. Okay, and I call it a coronation because I couldn't even consider it a nomination because what they did to keep it from a broker convention, which if they looked at their history, you actually got, general election victory when you had brokered elections. Just look at the history and you'll see that. So if there's anyone that's to blame for us having Barack Obama for another 4 years, it's the Republican Party. So if we want to not have a repeat of 2012, the party within itself, in its leadership, both in politics and outside of, politics, then, and also your so-called conservative medias need to stay conservative. What they did is they chopped the, think of the elephant, you chop off the legs. Those legs were the conservative base of the Republican Party. And that's what happened in 2012. The Republican Party and its leadership, chopped off their legs and wasn't going to have anywhere to run. That's what happened to them. And if they do it again in 2014 and 2016, we will see, a continuation of what we got now. And we'll see a President Hillary Clinton.
Well, honestly, Robert, I'm you know who I blame? I blame the people who voted to reelect Barack Obama. And I've always contended that. I don't blame the Republicans. I don't blame the conservative media. It was the people who voted to reelect. I worked on the Romney campaign, and people already had their minds made up. People did not want to hear the facts. People did not want to hear the truth. Perception outweighed the truth. I was on the campaign trail. I would break down the numbers for them, tell them the sites they were to go to. They didn't even give me the time of day. So if anyone is to blame, which is sad, is the people who voted to reelect Barack Obama, not caring to see the truth. And that is how races are lost. And that is my fear, is that people will not want to hear the truth again this year, and people will repeat what happened in 2012. It was the people ultimately who had the decision to vote. The people ultimately went to the ballot box. The people ultimately made that decision.
I mean, look, my contention, Joseph, is look who the Republicans propped up to run against Obama. I mean, for one, there was a environment of dislike for, let's face it, for uber wealthy people at the time of the 2012 election. And my gosh, look at Romney. I mean, come on. So, I mean, he had that strike against him. Also, I mean, he would not go back and say, hey, look, Romney care was a bad thing. He was weak against Obama because he knew Obama was going to come back with him. I mean, when you push the two candidates together, then there was, I mean, if you looked at their record, not what he was saying during his campaign, you looked at his record, they're practically the same. I mean, almost everything that Romney did at the state level is what Obama was doing at the national level. So, I mean, when people actually looked to do that, the reason I blame the Republicans is if they would have put up a different candidate, if they would have put a support under a different candidate, such as, for me, Newt Gingrich, but I also think Ron Paul, would have done better than Romney, but certainly if it was Newt Gingrich was up there, he could have showed the stark contrast between what his ideas were for the nation and what Romney does. And that's why when, a large part of the general election, the Republican Party had Newt Gingrich out there talking about conservatism and conservative Republican ideas, because Romney couldn't say it with any, without being disingenuous about it. I mean, that's why they had it. But then once they probably figured out, this isn't looking good, it's, because now he's not looking like the true presidential candidate, they backed off on that. So the people seen it,
And if the Republicans would have, you know, supported someone who could have actually beat Barack Obama, who
yeah,
was
Gingrich actually
Obama
got standing ovations, that the media shut him down.
You know, so, but then, you know, that's my take, and I heard, Cindy, that you were wanting to chime in, so go ahead.
No, I was just saying that Gingrich got standing ovations at the debates, but the media
yep.
shut him down. I think both sides, you know, shut him down.
The media, right, on both sides, the so-called conservative media, and I think what the, you know, I mean, I've got an audio clip of Rush Limbaugh lying on the day of the Florida convention. You know, I've got audio clips. I still have them. Or Romney says, you know, my views are progressive. I mean, when you got those things out, when you have Romney, who also said that, you know, he was not for a contract with America. He wasn't for that because it created winners and losers, and he wasn't out to create winners and losers. I mean, when you don't create a stark contrast, and you have the party, you know, leads such as the Karl Rove and, you know, and folks like of his ilk, you know, promoting Romney and people touting that, you know, he was the most electable in a general election, which we've seen was absolutely the exact opposite. I mean, if they would have put up a better candidate, there would have been victory, but they didn't. That's why I blame
That's
him.
That's right.
And thank you, Holly. Cindy?
You're right. The whole reason we lost that election was because the Republican establishment, who is in collusion with the globalist elites, those people in collusion coronated, just as you said, coronated Romney. He was not elected. That was a sham. There was unbelievable shenanigans going on during the primaries that most people have no clue about. Things that they did that were totally against the law and totally against our Republican green papers. We have a platform, and we have rules that we run our convention by. We run our election, our primaries by them, and they were just sticking those somewhere else and they didn't even go by. So, I mean, they were giving money to Romney way before he had enough votes. He considered the nomination.
Right.
There was all kinds of stuff they did. And
right.
All kinds of support they gave him.
I agree with James that we need mm-hmm. to educate and bring awareness. And with, I believe your guest name is Joey or Joseph, I agree with him that the focus needs to be 2014 November, you know.
Thank you.
And speaking of that, folks, I want to interject because this is part of the show tonight, is for those listening, of course, here live, but also on the archives, who will be listening to it, you know, listening to this later or now as they're listening to it, is there is a link on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Where there is a button there that will send you to Matt Devin's donate page for folks can send him money as well to help out as his campaign against Mitch McConnell. So do, you know, give whatever you can. I know we've got, you know, two folks we were getting donations for, but these are two very important things for people to check out, especially with Matt Devin's. I think the 20th or the 21st is when between the 19th and 21st, I'll have to look it up again, is when the primary is, so, you know, for his last legs of the race. I definitely can use whatever financial help he can get. I just want to bring that in again, Holly. And, of course, folks, go to www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com and go to the Give page, and there you can find the button that will send you to the link to Matt Devin's donate page. Go ahead, Holly.
I'm sorry. My husband walked in and was letting me know that our team won. I'm sorry I missed all that.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Were you asking for closing statement? Was the show closing? Or?
Oh, no, not yet. We've got a little bit of time, but we will have to probably do that in the next 4 minutes. So before we do that, James, your name is mentioned, so go ahead.
I'm sorry, my phone was breaking up. What did they say?
I was just agreeing with you that we need more awareness.
Okay, I remember what you said now. I'm sorry, I kind of spaced out there. I'm starting to get a little sleepy, but I mean, I have to agree. I mean, we have got the, you know, our country has become so just complacent. And we can thank the media for it. I mean, when, you know, it's just like, you know, the people say that, well, they're not interested in politics. But the bad thing is whether they like it or not, politics is very interested in them. And they're more interested when you don't participate, because it means they can get away with whatever it is that they want. And that's what's led us to the state that we're in. That's what led us to, you know, from a state where the government had limited enumerated powers to where, you know, now they can do anything they want. They can go try to take over a ranch in Nevada and hopefully nobody will even hear about it. You know, of course we know that at least temporarily, you know, there's been a stay of their action. You know, the fact that our law code, our judicial code in the United States, what was the number earlier? Something like 62 million lines of legal code in the United States. Come on. I mean, really? You know, we need one line of code, you know, for every six people. I mean, really? That's ridiculous, you know. And the problem the reason that I think that's happened is we let the people in Washington, D.C. get this notion that they are lawmakers. And what they are stewards of the Constitution,
right,
and of our liberties.
Right.
And really, if I were in a position and to do something about it, and maybe this is a position that we should all start, you know, preaching to Congress, you know, after this immediate threat, is that instead of making laws, there needs to be a comprehensive review of our entire judicial code to whittle it down to where it does no longer require as a team of attorneys just to understand one facet of the law. I mean, corporate law is a good example for that. I mean, you know, you can't have just one corporate attorney. It requires an entire team of attorneys. And who got us in that mess? Attorneys that are in Congress. They did this. This wasn't an accident. They've made living in America so complex that an individual American is very limited in their ability to fight for their own liberty. And that was done intentionally. That was done intentionally so that if you beat them on one law, they can pull out another one. And if you beat them on that one, they've got 62 million lines of legal code to defeat you with. And that's not an accident. And they need to their role needs to be revised back to, well, I say revised. It needs to be returned to its original purpose, and that was to be a steward of the steward of the Constitution and the protector of our rights. The entire judicial code needs to be redone or at least reviewed, and any law that's even remotely hinting at unconstitutionality, and of course, gun laws and tax laws would probably be among the very first to go if they were to do this with a genuine good intent for the nation, would be probably the first to go.
Yeah, I agree.
With that, James, I'm looking at the time, and it does look like that we'll have to start doing closing statements for tonight. So we'll go ahead and bring it over to you, Holly. We just got a couple minutes to go, and then I'll close things out. My closeout will be a little bit longer because I do have a lot of information to put out towards the end of the show.
Okay. I'll just make it really quick.
So,
Robert, I just absolutely from the bottom of my heart want to thank you so much for having our friend Brandon Adams on tonight. And I would like to thank James for the website that he gave. The lady, the other friend, Dawn, that called in, she wrote that information down so that we can look into that, James. And again, thank you so much, Robert, and to all your listeners. And for anyone and everyone that has helped Brandon, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. And if you can't help monetarily, And if you're a Christian, then we just ask for your prayers for Brandon. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Holly, and I hope, you know, we can get, you know, at least, you know, some funds out there. I've seen one person earlier tonight did send some funds there, and I encourage all those folks to just, you know, do what you can, even if it's, you know, just $5 or something of that nature, it'll help. So if folks can do that, I'm sure it'll be appreciated. There's some time, but, you know, just keep it in there in your thoughts to do that. I'm sure they'll appreciate it. So thank you very much, Holly. You're welcome to stay until we close things out. And then I want to go ahead and bring it to you, Joe, for some closing comments. And then for Cindy. And then, James, if you have maybe a few moments. And then I'll close things out. Go ahead, Cindy. From Joe and then Cindy. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, no, it was a great show. Thanks for having me on. And I just really hope that Operation American Spring does not have a violent end result. And
we all agree with you there, Joe.
Thank you. And my main focus is on 2014 and doing everything in my power to make sure that Republicans take over the Senate, and then we can look forward to 2016 and start fundamentally changing things and changing course, because the current trajectory that our country is on is just not sustainable. And I believe that we are at our most vulnerable, dangerous crisis in American history. And if we don't do something quick, if we don't take action, we can lose our country. And I will fight till my last breath to make sure that that does not happen. And that's my closing statement.
We appreciate you coming on to the show, Joseph. Of course, you're always welcome to come back. You know, one of the things we did talk about, you know, and everyone here, especially the panelists, will recall that we stated, although we could not support Romney for our own different reasons, we also stated to those who felt like they were, by their conscience, that they needed to support Romney, of course, they were welcome as well to speak their minds on the show and be a part of it, because, you know, as long as folks respected my choice to in my conscience, to not support Romney, and yes, folks know that I did support Virgil Goode of the Constitution Party, because that's where my conscience went. As long as they appreciate it, or maybe not quite appreciate it, but at least respected my decision, that I would respect them to go by their conscience and support Romney. So I just wanted to make sure that that's said. So we'll bring it over to you, James. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I agree the 2014 elections are of absolute importance. They really, truly are. And, you know, as much as it bothers me to see these establishment Republicans get in, and, you know, the John Boehner's talking trash about the Tea Party, you know, members and things like that. But, you know, the fact is if they know that we, you know, that the conservative and the constitutionalist voters out there are slowly but surely changing the minds of people in America. And because we just talk about facts, and it's stuff that people can look up. You know, lying about things will work for a little while, but eventually people will look into what you're saying, and they will see that what you're saying is false and your credibility is eliminated. You know, we've seen this even with President Obama, with his approval ratings, even among Democratic Party members. His support has gone down. His support of trolls have all but evaporated for the most part. And, you know, there are still some out there, but there will always be some out there. I would suspect that at this point in the nation, the majority of them are the ones that are paid on the staff of MoveOn.org. You know, but we've got to be active in this nation, you know, and not let up. We can't, you know, we are not in an easy time in this nation. We've got a difficult road ahead of us, and we've got to persevere. You know, if you get knocked down, get back up, you know. And, you know, it's just absolutely, of paramount importance that we don't give in to the defeats that we suffer, but we look at the successes and we move on. We look at our defeat, you know, we look at where we failed and we learn from that. And, you know, we don't repeat our mistakes more than once if we can avoid it. We can take this nation back. It's not going to be easy. And, you know, quite frankly, as deep as the problem lies, it may take many years to undo the damage, but it's already been happening for decades. This has been a slow creep on this nation, and we cannot expect realistically to undo everything that has gone on in this nation to bring it to its current state to happen overnight. And so everybody needs to have realistic expectations. We can make a dramatic change toward the right direction, and that's what American Spring is all about. But it will only begin to steer things in the correct direction. We can't, for one moment, even if Operation American Spring gets every single thing done that they want, we can in no way, shape, nor form think that we have won and think that the battle or the war is over, because this is just the beginning. This is just the first major stand that the American people have made towards liberty, and we have to be stronger. We have to be more tenacious than the enemies of liberty, because they aren't going to stop even if we win the day on May 16th.
Well, thank you very much, James, and definitely, folks, just 1 week away, and James and I are going to, you know, perhaps be looking at doing some live reporting there and do a special edition show for the Operation American Spring. I don't think I'll be able to make it down to D.C. Personally myself, but, of course, we can have a special show where we can have some folks down there reporting from there. I think that would be phenomenal. So I want to remind folks to go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website and go to the Give page. Of course, there's other pages on there, just, you know, peruse all of our sponsors and the Get Involved page and things of that nature. So, you know, check it out, the guests on the page as well. But definitely check out our Give page. We've got some great organizations on there. But right now we're going to be concentrating on Matt Bevin's race against Mitch McConnell. So send with funds what you can for him and his cause, because we definitely need to get the conservatives in there, in office. And also definitely check out the link going to our guest Brandon Adams and truly help him out, even if it's, you know, $5 in each person or whatever you can do. And if you have more, you know, money than that, that'd be greatly appreciated for him, and I appreciate him coming onto the show. That's got to be hard for folks, you know, especially as hardworking as you've all heard the testimonies about him. So definitely check that out on the Give page as well, and just push the button and give what you can, which would be really appreciated. And also check out the Bard's Logic Political Talk website there and check out our sponsors, especially around Mother's Day. You can find some great gifts for that special woman for this Sunday, which I can't believe it's going to be this Sunday already. But also, if you are a Twitter user, and you listen to the show, just put listening or listen to Bard's Logic and then copy and paste the link into the little message spot there and then put hashtag, if you can fit it, Operation American Spring, or if that won't fit, just put the hashtag PJNet in there as well, and then that can help promote the show and promote hopefully get more people to come here, listen to the show, and donate to the causes, as well as hear more about American Spring. And to also check out the Patriot Journalist Network at www.patriotjournalist.com. And so I will end tonight. It'll end a little bit early this evening, but it was
you didn't give me my last bit.
You know why that is? That is because you and Holly sound a lot alike, and I remember hearing her voice, and now it's yours. But we do have a couple minutes there in the city, so you go right on ahead.
Well, I just want to tell Joseph he's certainly not crazy for thinking that something violent could happen there. But I would say that it's not going to be the conservatives who are coming there for the right reasons that are going to create the violence. I would say that if this looks like it's going to be really successful, the other side is going to try to infiltrate us and force the starting of stuff. And it's all part of their plan. The reason they're so successful against us is because they've launched this propaganda campaign to demonize and embarrass anybody who tries to expose their very secret plan. This is a plan of a very small group of what I call global elitists. And it is global. It's a global agenda. And their goal is to usher in a one-world government run by an oligarchy of the richest, most powerful men in the world, and they want to be mm-hmm. one of them. And I notice I said men, because I want everybody to understand that once these people take over, women aren't going to get any kind of an important role in that order. That new world order is going to have men dominating the whole thing. Women have power in America right now because they have freedom in America right now. You look at China, they're killing half their women in the womb. It's a man's world in China already. And three-fourths of this world, it's that way. The progress we made in the establishment of Christendom coming out of the Dark Ages for liberty and equality for all the races, the genders, the age groups, that's going to be completely decimated under this new worldwide communist oligarchy. It's over for all the minorities. So we don't have a choice but to use every tool in our toolbox to try to stop this now. It will be too late very, very soon. It will be too late. It will have just gone too far. It may have already gone too far. There may be nothing we can do at this point. But we have to try. And we have several tools in the toolbox. We have the elections to work for, as Joseph said. We have things like overpasses. We have things like Operation American Spread. We have things like getting militias together and helping people like Clive Bundy. We've got to start doing stuff and being more visible to our government and to our press, so that they can't ignore us anymore. And we have to, like, put aside, right now, we have to put aside all the petty things that we're disagreeing about, and we have to put aside all the petty things that we're spending our time on. And we've got to start spending more time on saving our nation. And that's my final word.
Well, I appreciate it, because I was going to say, and unfortunately, there's not any more time left. Still want to thank folks for coming in tonight. It was great having the conversation, and that's, you know, the thing that makes, you know, Bard's Logic Political Talk work is the guests we have on the show, and, of course, our panelists here, contributors, and, of course, you, the audience, is what really makes the show go well. So I want to thank everyone for the participation and listenership. And so I will end tonight, as I do every night, and hopefully I'll be able to listen to all of it. So here you go, the song from Aubrey Ashburn, and you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. So take care, everyone. Good night, and we will see you next time. Take care.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.